It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here with lots to talk about, including the pop-up on Windows 7 that's going to get all your relatives calling you, a look at Windows 10 19H1, and a new feature that will allow Windows to remove faulty updates without you doing anything at all. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 612, recorded Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. N is for OneNote. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian Software powers a full spectrum of collaboration between IT teams and the rest of your organization. Visit Atlassian.com/IT to see what IT can be by giving their products a try for free. And by IT Pro TV, providing effective training with access to virtual labs and practice tests. Visit go.itpro.tv/windows to take advantage of their lowest prices of the season. For an additional 30% off for the lifetime of your active subscription, use the code WW30 at checkout. Time for Windows Weekly. Oh, wow. I scared myself. The show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with Mary Jo Foley. Her blog is, it's on ZDNet, but it's titled All About Microsoft. So that must mean she knows all about Microsoft. Everything there's to know.
A little too much.
Many scoops coming from her this week. Also, Paul Thurrott, thurrogood.com. He makes him laugh every time when I say that, so I like to say
it. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. Because you're not double good. You are double good. You're double good. Yeah. Like a nice Hershey bar. Not far from Hershey, PA, by the way, in the beautiful Lower McKenzie Valley. Today we gather to talk about something called Windows. Remember before Azure, there was this product Microsoft used to sell?
Oh, God.
They used to talk about it a lot.
This is like the Silmarillion if you're into the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it is.
There's this other thing.
Yeah.
It's from a long time ago.
Yeah, nobody wants it. Nobody understands it.
Yep.
But it's here.
Pretty much the focus of our lives, yeah.
So there's the whole passel of Windows news, but I think we should do it in numeric order. So let's start with Windows 7.
I know. Okay. We should do that. Any XP news before we start?
No. Yeah, exactly. X comes at the end of the alphabet.
No, not yet.
WXYZ.
Windows XP is still unsupported. It's like the Chevy Chase joke about the...
Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Still dead.
Well, you're dating yourself on that one. That's...
Just on that one, Leo.
That's the 70s, baby. That's old. That's old school.
Classic. Classic.
It's classic.
Legacy SNL.
I hardly know where to start. Let's start with the end of Windows 7.
Right. So this is going to start coming up on your other radio show, Leo.
Yes, I know. You're exactly right.
So in April, Microsoft is going to start issuing pop-ups periodically to people still running Windows 7 saying, hey, do you know the end of support of Windows 7 is just around the corner?
That's going to be
January 2020.
Terrify people when they say that.
Oh, yeah. And you know what's the worst part? Because I just had this phone call with my mom last week. When she sees a pop-up, she knows something is wrong.
Right.
Like it's malware.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yep. So here, this thing's going to pop up on people's screens, and people are either going to be, one, terrified, or to just ignore it and hit the X in the corner, and it's going to keep happening.
Does it say okay or cancel?
We don't know.
That's the good news.
No okay or please no. Well, I mean, what are your choices?
Well, no, Microsoft is going to let people disable it, right?
If
which
you
was
know
one of the complaints.
Do it.
Well, we don't know what it looks like. I mean, it may be obvious. So I think what Leo was alluding to was the nonsense behavior that occurred when you clicked on the okay or cancel on the previous stack.
Right. We're not going to have that as far as we know. But
well, we don't know. I mean, but
we don't know.
Yeah. I guess they haven't shown a picture of it.
Right.
No, but I think what it's going to look like from people I've talked to is if you click on the X, you're going to get it again sometime because you didn't actually opt out of it. But there'll be a box, I believe, that'll say, if you don't want to see these anymore, click here. I do think that will be there.
Leo, and then the rest like of it, I think, will bike. Be...
I know. But you know what? Nobody will do that, right? Like the people who don't know about this, they're just going to click the X and it's going to come back in a couple months or however often. They say a handful of times.
A handful of times?
They wouldn't even say how often.
What does that mean?
A handful. It's between a bushel and a bucket.
You wouldn't expect these people. These are engineers and they're using terms like a handful?
I think because they don't want to tell us the whole story, right? Leo, we don't think it's going to be every month. I don't think it's going to be every month, but is it going to be every 2 months? Is it going to be every month and a half?
What are we doing about this?
Let me read you something from today.
Okay.
This is just unrelated, but this is, you're talking about a team, you know, the team that makes Windows and their inability to communicate. They're talking about the schedule this year for 19H1, H2, and 20H1, Donna Sakar writes, after we get 19H1 nearly finished and ready, you know, there are engineering terms for that milestone that Microsoft refuses to use. Apparently they were too clear or something, but you know, this is
almost done.
Of course they're going to screw this up.
You know, nobody wants to say RTM.
So or my bigger concern, and it's the concern your mom will also have, is okay, what do you want me to do about it?
Exactly.
Right. So
should I download another update to Adobe Flash? Would that fix it?
but this is the problem, right? So as we move into the latter half of 2019, into 2020, if you're literally running Windows, if you got a computer that came with Windows 7.
And you're still running it because you
like
it.
And you're still using it.
Yeah.
That computer is not a good candidate to upgrade to Windows 10, nor is Microsoft offering a free upgrade anymore, right? So,
right.
And I think there's a reason for that. They do have a pretty good idea of what those computers look like out in the wild. And they know that either it's impossible for technical reasons or it just would be a bad experience in many cases. And that really does put people like your mother or who have normal people in a bit of a bind, because I think the way a lot of those type, like your mother is probably a really good example, is probably not a super heavy computer user per se. She kind of uses it whatever tasks every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Presenting her with this idea of you having to spend money now on a new computer, which is basically the solution.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people are going to be okay with that, you know?
I know. So what I think it's going to take you to is this Windows 7 page. I have a link to it in my story. And it says, what can I do to prepare when you click on that? And the first thing it says is back up your files and photos. Then it says, check out the latest PC. So they're totally telling you, you're going to have to buy a new PC.
Yeah. No, this is the only solution. That's what I mean. We're not at the point anymore where there's some large base of users out there with PCs that even could upgrade to Windows 10, right? So a lot, businesses we're talking about here, right? Where they may purposefully buy a brand new computer
Video? Back to Windows 7. There's a video. What's the video? It's some woman driving a car. She's driving a car.
Off a cliff.
Oh, with a dramatic... end of life. Oh, I get it. She's turning in her Honda.
It's just like the Honda.
Your dog is dying.
Remember when regular gas was a thing? That's when Windows 7 was around.
They're taking away the sofa. What? And your wallet has a gift next to it, and inside there's a brand new wallet.
Jeez, you're going to get rid of the Constanza wallet.
Buy a new car, get a new sofa, and hand over your wallet, because it's time.
All right, so clearly, the message here is spending money solves all problems.
Yeah, and your Windows 7 is just worn out like an old piece of wallet.
Just going to look at the dog and be like, you're next.
Same story, new chapter. But wait a minute, if it's the same story, why do I want to spend $2,000 on a new computer?
Yeah, well... Yeah. Hopefully it won't be $2,000.
What can I do to prepare? Back up your files and photos and check out the latest PCs.
You grab both of your ankles with your hands?
I hate you, Microsoft. I hate you. That's terrible.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, man.
But this is where we're at, right?
It is. I think the PC my mom has, which is probably like a 5-year-old Toshiba laptop, probably yep. could one, run Windows 10.
Yeah, couldn't she just buy Windows 10 for $90 and?
Yeah, yes. Or if she has her key, that's the works, right? If you have your product key, doesn't can't you still just enter
Wait a
that?
Nobody has. Upgrade? Nobody has.
Wait a minute. You, if you yes. had a product key for Windows 7, you could get a free yeah. copy no, no, of Windows 10.
Isn't it true?
No, no. It has to be a retail product key. So you can't take the product key up okay. with a laptop.
Off that's not going
But if you at some okay. point bought Windows 7,
yeah, you could but who did that?
Do that. No, I mean, yeah, you're right. You know, you're right.
The people who did that have already upgraded. That's what I mean. I, yeah. you know, ultimately, what we're left with here now out in the world are, you know, the non-enthusiastic type people. You know, they don't care about upgrading to Windows 10. They right. never did. They never afraid. Took advantage of it. Right. They didn't know about it. You know, whatever it is. Yep. But those computers, you know, if, like I said, if you bought a computer
it's true.
At Best Buy or whatever that came yep. with Windows 7 on it, I mean, how old is that computer? They're old, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the people in the chat room are saying that they have used their OEM key.
And it works.
Those people in the chat room are dirty liars, Leo.
Don't count on it, I guess. It might work.
That's not my understanding, but okay. Yeah. It's possible.
Okay. Because I do know a lot of people who knew about, and most of them called the radio show, the free upgrade to Windows 10 some years back. And said, but I don't want to do it. I like Windows 7. Or they did it and then after a month rolled it back to Windows 7. Yeah. So those
in that case, by the way, you could do that again now.
Roll
that
it forward.
That would work.
So yeah, that's some that good would. Advice, right? If you've ever activated Windows 10 on any machine. Right.
Well, it was good advice like 3 years ago. But yeah, yes, I'm sorry. I guess if you did do that.
Actually, that was my common advice was, well, try it. And if you don't like it, you can go back to Windows 7. But at that point, you have given yourself an entitlement to Windows 10 forever
That's
after
right.
on that.
That's machine. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem now, of course, is if you have a bad experience now, you don't really have any further recourse. There's no, I mean, I you could install Windows 7 again if you had that software, I suppose, but or some backup or whatever it might be. But, you know, the support is still coming to an end, right? So when that doesn't work, I guess, at that point, I guess you could think about looking at a new computer.
Like, I'm a good example, right? On one of my PCs, I'm still running Windows 7.
So what's your plan for that? Oh, you're actively seeking to buy a new computer, aren't you?
Yeah. So I have the Dell Optiplex that Twit gave me maybe 8 years ago. I'm still using.
We gave you a
computer? Yeah. What's up with that, Leo?
I never got a computer. No, you guys did. You guys gave it to me because I didn't have a powerful enough
computer. Oh, you needed it for the Skype. Yeah. Wow.
Right. Right, but now
that was a
I'm
one-time
like,
only offer. I just want
it was. Yes, right. No, I know.
Leo, I don't know if you heard, but support for Windows 7 is ending. I'm curious how.
So I was waiting for you guys to like
send you the new Mac.
Another one. No, send me the new
I'm
Mac.
Send you an Ubuntu disk.
I need an iMac Pro.
No, so I'm thinking. What I'm thinking of doing is either getting just getting a new laptop and a docking station and a monitor and using that.
Yeah. How about Paul? What about a NUC for her? Oh, no, she needs you need to move around, though, right? You want a laptop.
Well, if she wants to replace her desktop, a NUC would do it.
With a monitor, right?
You already have a monitor, though, right?
Well, I have the all-in-one
PC. It's an all-in-one.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not a monitor. Yeah you need it. You're going to need a display.
Plus, this one, I'm starting to have a lot of trouble with it, like right before the show. Like, sometimes the keyboard just stops working, and I have to switch which port.
Have you been using this for Skype all along?
Like, you're using this right now.
I'm using it right now.
Oh my God! I had no idea. Yeah.
What are our
7 years out of that?
Can we find out?
Yeah, it's been great.
So, if you right click on my computer, if I remember correctly, and go to, is it settings or properties, whatever?
Yeah,
you need to bring up system settings.
Actually, you know, I'm thinking we do want to do this again with you, Mary Jo, only because the advantage of this is you don't do anything else with that computer. Right. So it's easy for us to troubleshoot because there's nothing.
Right. You guys have remotely troubleshooted it for me several times.
I think what we're going to do, I hate to say this, but we might send you a Mac Mini but you don't have a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, do you? No. No. So you need one a keyboard, monitor, and mouse too.
No, you know what? I'm just going to buy one.
Okay.
I'm just going to buy one.
But then Paul's idea, though, is good, which is have a dock.
That's what I think.
Yeah, so in other words, you need to buy a laptop anyway, so you'll get a dock, and then you can use
it. This is my Lenovo. The dock is different now, unfortunately, but this is the Lenovo dock, which is all wired in and has HDMI and everything. And so when I sit down at my desk with my laptop, then I just click it in, and now it's
what
a desktop.
I think I do.
Yeah, but now you can do a single cable Thunderbolt 3 type
thing.
Yeah,
it's
great.
Much better now. Although, in a way, this I like this because it's...
No, I like that kind of style,
it's
too, actually.
It's a stand, right? It's really solid in there.
Yeah, I'm running Windows 7 Pro Service Pack 1 on this. It's a Dell Optiplex 9010.
Does it say Intel Core 2 Duo something something?
Intel Core i7...
Oh, okay.
So I understand now. I forgot that we did that, but because we wanted you to have a computer that was not, and we kind of do that with a number of hosts. That's just not. There's you don't use it for anything except for talking to
Core
us.
Core i7- what is the first number?
3770S.
So third generation. That's quite a bit. That's like
it's old.
So this is 5 or 6 years.
Hey,
old.
It was free. Knock it off.
You know what? It's been great.
Did you get
I've
this at the local charity organization? No. So what's the?
No, we ordered a new one. I'm sure Russell did this because he's a big Dell.
How much RAM is in this thing?
Four it's gigs.
Possible. But we wouldn't want you to put Windows 10 on it. To be honest with you, we would.
I know
because we want it to be a stable. Known
that's what I was
quantity.
Yeah.
We'll send you. We can send you a replacement for that. But if
you have a Winchester hard drive in it, Leo, what's the?
It does. It's a 5 megabyte Winchester. Careful,
guys. You laugh, but it's been a good machine.
No, that was the baud modem. That was the whole point. That's why we sent you an Optiplex. It's just it's a tank. It's not something you'd want to use.
No.
In any other way, which we kind of wanted.
I remember. No, when you guys sent it to me, I remember Alex saying to me, so you want the touch version of this, right? And I'm like, touch? No, I don't want the touch version of this.
Right. Yeah. That's actually not a bad system. I think you could easily put 10 on it, but that would kind of defeat our purpose.
You could, but you'd want to upgrade the RAM at least. And then who knows?
And it's
that
just
age
it's starting
processor,
to slow down.
Honestly. Because it predates the Spectre meltdown, so I don't know that they fixed
they probably
those
didn't. But nobody's
that far back.
Mary Jo's Skype computer with Spectre.
Right. Come on, guys, come at me.
They will now that they know it's out
there. No, I'm fully patched. I'm running all my security stuff. It's been a good machine.
Well, let me talk to the team and see what we want
to
do.
Leo, seriously, I don't want you to send me one because I need to buy a laptop.
Okay, this pushes you into that.
Yeah, I'm going to just go
home. And we've had pretty good results. Well, Paul hasn't, but we've had pretty good results with people using their own system.
Builds.
I know. That's why we send people dedicated systems because we don't want them to do that.
I'm not going to do that at all.
Yeah, but we haven't had to lately. I mean, that was then. This is now. Most people running their own personal computers are able to because processors are fast enough to Skype and have what people were doing is they're putting email on it and they download email. They're in the middle of a show, and it would tie up the computer and it would start to go futz around and stuff like that.
No.
So we're perfectly willing to send you a Skype only computer. I mean,
I appreciate that, but you don't need to.
Okay.
You seriously don't.
And Paul, I'm making you use one. I'm going to send you Mary Jo's Optiplex.
Understand.
And let's let him.
I could build a fort out of the computers in my house. I don't need more forts.
But we ended up with Steve Gibson. He has a dedicated computer. It's a Mac.
Wow.
So he's not tempted to mess around with it.
I was going to say, he's running XP on it. Yeah,
probably. a number of our hosts have dedicated Skype systems for that reason,
No, I'll be good because I've never been in the Insider program.
No,
I'm not the person who should be running these builds. I'm not qualified. No. I'm a normal.
You're a normal. You want to stay
We need
normal.
More normals, Mary Jo. You know?
Do we?
I think we do.
Yeah. That's kind of why we send people little Mac Minis, because we know they won't be tempted to mess with them. It's like,
no.
I don't want to touch that.
That would be like you sending me an Xbox. There's certain things that just can't cross the threshold in here.
I have so many goals for this year.
What about her getting a ThinkPad? I feel like she's a ThinkPad gal.
Yeah, I think a ThinkPad would be a good choice.
Yeah,
I'm thinking ThinkPad or HP.
You really need to look at the Elite Books. The latest, the typing experience on that thing is the best I've ever seen.
Okay.
I was just reading a review, one of the tech blogs, where a guy's talking about, I think, the Dell XPS his keyboard, and he says, I have to remind myself that any keyboard is infinitely better than a Mac keyboard, but because these Mac laptop keyboards are so awful, he's starting to say, this is the greatest keyboard. Then he remembers, actually, I should
wait.
Yeah. it's because I'm comparing it to a Mac laptop.
It's better than the horse and buggy I was driving before.
Right. But you like those that HP Elite keyboard, huh?
The new one, yeah. The EliteBook, it's the EliteBook 1040, which is the 14-inch version.
That's a nice size.
X360. So it's what do you call it? A convertible PC. Not that I ever use it that way, but there's just something about the keyboard. It's perfect. It's really, really nice. But there's a bunch of good choices there. I mean, HP has other computers as well. The ThinkPads are all excellent, of course. A bunch of good choices. The Huawei,
they have great keyboards. But I know Mary Jo likes really thin.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Huawei's thin, but you can't buy Huawei. Then they'd be spying on your ZDNet. This looks like the Huawei or the MacBook. This looks like just an ultrabook.
Thin. It's got all the ports,
3 pounds. Yeah, I like it that it has ports.
There's a 13-inch version. I happen to prefer this. It's a hair bigger, obviously.
I probably go for the 13-inch version.
Yeah.
Ultra slim. This looks good for you.
Yeah.
I wish it weren't chrome colored. That's one thing I like about the Lenovo is I like the black. Mm. Apparently, I'm not going to be allowed to buy it. It's not going to load. But, okay. I was going to look at the prices. I don't need it, but thought it'd be nice to have. We're going to send you a System 76 Linux laptop.
Yes.
You can use gedit with that, and I think you're going to be very happy.
Gedit. You can use gedit to, change the X Windows.
Exactly. Xconfig. Yeah. It's really a valuable tool for that because sometimes you'll find deep within the Xconfig that there's just. Remember those days?
It's all about Linux isn't it?
Those were those days.
The best thing about those days is you would make a change to that file, and then the computer just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
then you were just dead in the water.
But in their favor, you never got a pop-up saying, your version of Linux is about to expire. Buy a new computer.
Right.
There is that. Okay, well... I don't know. How do we get into this? Oh, because of that pop-up. Okay.
Right. So, when people call in, just tell them, make sure they look for the checkbox if they don't want to see this pop-up again. Otherwise, it's going to keep popping up.
Yeah. And it really kind of galls a little bit that their advice is buy a new computer.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it's the timing, right?
I know.
Remember, this is two versions of Windows ago. Yeah. When was it? 2009 was when, right?
Yep.
I think, it was when Windows 7 shipped, right? So Windows 8 must have come out then, what is that, 2012?
12.
And so you would have had to have purchased, as an individual, Windows 7 based computer 2012 or earlier. Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago,
And if you tell them, here's how to transfer your files onto another machine that you might have, and then you're going to be running Windows 10. Like, if they have a bad experience because of 10 on that thing, they'll be like, oh, wait, what?
I know.
Well,
hopefully, the advice stands on Windows 7 like it does on Windows 10. If you're storing stuff in the cloud, if you're using OneDrive, whatever, honestly, you should be okay. But then again, your mother, the very typical users out there in the world, of which there are many, are probably still putting stuff in their documents folder. They're putting it wherever. They're not really thinking about cloud.
She doesn't use the cloud. No.
Yeah.
She uses cloud for email. That's the only thing. Like, she doesn't store anything in the cloud. I've tried to get her to do that, but no. That's just a no. And, the reason she's on 7 is she saw Windows 10 on my... First, she saw Windows 8 on my machine. Then she saw 10, and she's like, I don't want that. That's too hard. I can't deal with that. And she just was like, nope. I'd be like, Mom, you could get used to it. Nope, not
doing it. maybe you could grab some Starduck tool for her and make Windows 10 look like Windows 7. That might be...
That's a good point.
What is it, though? I mean, Windows 10 pretty much does look like Windows 7, doesn't it?
It looks a lot like 7. It does. Except the start menu.
I always tell the story about my friend Chris, who, normal human being, got a new computer when Windows 8 came out and was freaking out.
I understand, because 8 was really different.
Yeah, and I think there's some leftover hangover type stuff from that, because Windows 10 really does look like Windows 8 when you think about it. I mean, once they kind of got rid of the full screen start menu and added back the real start menu, added the start button back, et cetera, they're actually very similar visually, that flat UI and so forth. Windows 7 kind of, Windows Vista did this too, but the you know, those glass transparency effects, Aero and so forth,
yep,
was kind of the thing. And if you're used to that, and yep, even if you like it, I guess, you know, Windows 10 doesn't look anything like it. I mean, everything's in the same place, right? It should be a reasonable transition, but I guess I sort of understand people not quite getting it.
Yeah. I mean, you get used to patterns of how you do your daily work and what you recognize and how you do it, where you store things. And it's like, if something, even one thing is different, some people just are like, yikes, like, I don't know what I'm doing now.
If the big difference is the start menu, that's easily fixable with startup.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think, unless you accidentally move your mouse over to the lower right-hand corner, you're going to notice much else that's different, right? The window, the key, the widgets on the windows are the same. The commands to, I think most of it's pretty similar.
Most of it's pretty similar.
If you could get over the surface level look and feel stuff, it actually is not a horrible transition.
Oh, I prefer 10, and I think it's very.
Oh no, I do too. Yeah. I do too. I'm just saying that I could imagine people who are stuck on Windows 7 just being comfortable with it, especially people who just kind of don't care about this stuff, right? Notion of
why change?
Preferring one over the other is like whatever.
It's change for change's sake from their point of view, and they don't get it. It's like you know, you put the steering wheel on the right. I don't need that.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
So I am sympathetic. And you're right. I'm going to be getting the calls.
Oh, yeah. You are. No, I enjoy that this is going to fall on you because the type of people who read what Mary Jo and I write are already moved on a long time ago.
Yeah, they're not even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Steve Gibson will devote 20 minutes to it as well.
Well, Mary Jo, because you do have a Windows 7 PC, you'll be able to experience this NAG dialogue.
I will. I'll get the pop-up in April, and I'll take a shot of it and show you guys what it
Woo-hoo!
Looks like.
How exciting.
Yeah, I am curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah. Remember what the XP one looked like? I think I have a link to that in my story. It was very bare bones, right? Mm-hmm. It just said... It was a little box, and it said XP end of support is April 8th, 2014. Click here to learn more. And it had a little box, and it said, don't show this message again.
That's simple.
That's what they did for XP. And people still flipped out and went crazy when this started popping up and were screaming.
It's kind of like bad news. And there's no remedy. It's like, okay, don't tell me the bad news anymore. But it's still
to a normal person. If you have an old washing machine or a car or whatever it might be, yes, eventually it's probably going to run itself into the ground, and that's when you replace it. But it doesn't arbitrarily announce to you that you can no longer use this thing that still works fine. You know what I mean? I think that's the disconnect that a normal person would have with this, which is completely understandable.
It'd be great if the link, instead of taking you to buy a new PC, just took you to an Android page and you adjusted a smartphone. How about that Samsung Galaxy S10?
Chromebook.
Yeah, or Chromebook.
I feel like what they need to put instead of end of support is that you're not going to get any more security updates. Something more like clear.
Well, that's terrifying too.
But you want people to be terrified, right?
Yeah.
Like... End of support. I don't care if I'm supported, right? Like,
but
whatever.
You said something interesting, Paul, because you make an excellent point. If you had a Chromebook, this is a pop-up you would, I can promise, you will never see.
Yeah, you'd never see it. Yeah, that's true.
It's never going to happen.
I think the only Chromebook I'm aware of that went out of support was like the original that Google prototype thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that was. But yeah, that's right.
I mean, eventually they go out of support, but I don't think that they stop updating.
Right.
Anyway,
because Chrome gets updated. Yeah, it's a different system for sure. But anyway, this is kind of a perfect storm of things, right? Windows 8 was not widely adopted. Everyone hated it. A lot of people stuck with Windows 7 because of that. A lot of people who could take advantage of the Windows 10 free upgrade did so. We had the Spectre meltdown thing, and I'm not really positive off the top of my head, but I don't believe that Intel and or Microsoft is busy fixing every single generation of these chips. That's my understanding. So Mary Jo's computer is probably very typical in the sense that it may fall outside of that window, you know, and that's another thing.
Yeah, but to be fair, we've never seen a Spectre or meltdown exploit in the wild. I mean, it's – Right. If you're a spy, you should worry about that.
Sure. Okay. Okay. But I'm just saying, if there's a report in next February that there are still 500 million Windows 7 PCs out in the world, and oh, by the way, a big chunk of them are these older things that can't upgrade to Windows 7, that's a nice ripe target right there. Like, people who clearly don't care about anything and aren't paying attention to anything are excellent targets, you know? Mm-hmm. So I mean, like I said, I completely get it. I'm super happy I don't have to deal with these people.
Well, and honestly, those are the people I point to a Chromebook. I mean, this is not facetious.
Yeah, no, it's, and that's understandable. I mean,
that's what they should be using, you know?
Yeah.
Sure.
If you care, if you really use Windows and you care about it, you already either upgraded or you understand what to do, or, you know, this isn't going to throw you.
What year did Apple transition the Mac to Intel processors? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh, no. It was ages ago. Must be more than 10 years ago now.
You think it was more than 10 years ago? Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what I don't even know, because I don't know enough about the Mac, but like, what version of the Mac might have been around when Windows 7 was new? Are we talking like Jaguar or something, or Tiger or whatever? I mean, was it
the transition maybe something? Began in 2005.
2000, that's a long time ago. Okay. Yeah.
It finished by 2007. I do remember, and in fact, even today, you'll get pop-ups on Mac OS.
Yeah.
There were pop-ups saying, okay, we're not going to support Rosetta, which was the transitional thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting pop-ups. If you have Mojave and run a 32-bit program, you'll get a pop-up saying it's not going to work in the next version.
Yep.
So, it's not exactly analogous, because they don't say you need to buy a new Mac.
Well, it's not like you could buy a 32-bit Mac anytime in the past years.
But there are people with 32-bit Macs, but they've kind of grown accustomed to the idea that they're stuck at Snow Leopard or what, an earlier version. And and they're not probably going to try to download 64-bit programs.
Do you think any security companies are going to come to the rescue here and try to sell to Windows 7 users who have decided to stick with the system?
Well, remember with XP that both Firefox and Chrome continued to update the browsers for a few extra years. But did somebody ever offer patches? I think maybe. I don't remember.
Well, for businesses, Microsoft offers patches, but you have
to
buy
them. For it, yeah.
Right.
And the price doubles every year until it reaches infinity. So that's pretty good.
How many years does it take?
Not long.
Yeah.
What happens, and what will always happen, is unless Microsoft actually flips a kill switch, there will be probably half of all Windows users will continue to use XP and Windows 7. What is the percentage of Windows 7?
There will certainly be some hundreds of millions of people, for sure.
October, Microsoft said half of all business machines were still running an older version of Windows.
And I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I think out in the world it's flipped to Windows 10, but it's not a big jump. Like, it's 60% to 40% or something.
What has changed? It used to be routine to buy a new computer, and people haven't done that in years and don't want to. And there's no there's no compelling reason to do so.
Yeah, right. And that's the problem. The compelling reason now is they're just going to stop supporting it, I guess. But you know, in the business world, a lot of those computers that are running Windows 7 are actually newer computers, right? And that. There's actually less of a risk there because they're highly managed anyway, and you know, whatever. I mean, I think that part of the world is going to be fine. They'll go on whatever schedule they go on. But the people we need to be concerned about here are people like your mother, to keep raising that example, because she doesn't care about this stuff, and normal people shouldn't. She doesn't want to buy. You know, it's like you walk out to your car and it's locked. It's like, sorry, you're going to buy a new car. You know, but you're working fine. You know, it's a weird. I don't know that it's completely unique, but I think it is. I think it is pretty unique. You know,
I mean, her machine, it's slowing to a crawl. Like, the last time I tried to fix something on it for her, I was like, "Oh, this thing is so slow." You know.
Yeah.
So it is time for her to get a new PC, and she wants to get another PC because she likes using certain things, like her email and all. Like, I'm sure she would be fine with a Chromebook, you know, but she wants a device of some type.
So. Yeah.
And in order to totally confuse people, Microsoft has decided to update DirectX 12 for Windows 7.
This actually makes less sense than the thing we just talked about. Apparently, Blizzard had come to it and said, hey, we'd really like to get DirectX 12, which is Windows 10 only. working on Windows 7. Because, you know, obviously in the gaming world, that'd be a typical example of a market where a lot of people still using Windows 7 computers. Microsoft inexplicably said yes. They noticed some huge improvement in frame rate and performance. And now they're going to let other game makers do the same thing. Now, Microsoft being Microsoft, of course, what they point out is, you know, actually, on the same hardware, you're still going to see a much better benefit if you're running Windows 10. But that's for completely artificial reasons. I mean, they spent years developing this only for Windows 10 and have only now backported it. So it's not like the full DirectX integration like you get on Windows 10, but that's just something Microsoft did. I mean, they could have easily have made this for Windows 7 at the time and just decided not to, to spur people to upgrade to Windows 10. So goofy. But yeah, that they, geez, I don't know. You know, it's, I like, mean, it's not, why?
God, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's not like the fact that they're bringing the Chromium based Edge to Windows 7 isn't that weird to me, because a lot of enterprise customers who have extended security updates, they're going to be still running that, right? But that's the exactly DirectX thing, I'm like, huh.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
The Chromium thing makes tons of sense for the reason you said. This is a step on the way to a transition to Windows 10. And so those enterprises that have to stick with Windows 7 for some reason for the next year or two, whatever it is, will still benefit from going to Edgeium or whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
Because that will be one less thing they have to worry about when they make the transition to full Windows 10. So in that sense, putting it on Windows 10 makes sense. Windows 7, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, DirectX... What? Oh, jeez. Yeah. Like, it's incredible.
It's not even all of DirectX, right? Isn't it parts of DirectX?
No. Yeah, it is literally part. Yeah. Yeah. It's not the whole thing.
Yeah. The whole crazy thing, I was just like, huh. That's like one of those things you're like, why?
We have reached
Do you think
point-
it has to... I had a crazy theory about, you know, when they talked about at MWC open stores in the game world? Does this have anything to do with that? They said open APIs and open stores, right? But they didn't explain what any of this meant. They just said, yeah, we're going to be open.
I don't think so. I don't have this in the notes, but there is a story. I just don't know enough about it yet. But apparently Microsoft has released the final version of an app for the Xbox One that will let you stream your Windows 10 PC to your console. The idea is that you'll stream a game, and then you can use your Xbox's controller to play the game. And fair enough. One of the things they specifically said about it was that this will work with Steam games, right? And this isn't the same thing as an open store policy per se, but it the fact that this was explicitly mentioned tells me not so much that we're going to see Steam on Xbox, but here's a way you can play Steam games on Xbox, you know, kind of it's sort of open, right? It sort of falls more into that category. This is literally just for games. I mean, the game Warcraft, whatever the Warcraft game is, I don't know if it's available via Steam, but if assuming it is, you could acquire it from Steam, let's say, and now it works with DirectX. I don't know what the point, I have no idea what the point of this is. I really don't.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
It's goofy. Yeah. 2 years ago or whenever the DirectX 12 came out, you know, maybe today it's like, why? This thing is literally going to expire in 10 months.
Yeah.
It's weird. I assume they did the minimum. I don't know.
Okay. You know what I'd like to do now?
What?
Reinstall Windows XP. No, I would like to, I would like to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk Windows 10. Look how we've advanced through the years.
Skip right over 8.1, just like the rest of the
like the rest of the world. Somebody in the chat room said, I've been working in this business for years. I don't see computers with Windows 8 on them ever. And it's true. No. You don't.
Isn't it like 5% share or something smaller even?
It's kind of embarrassing.
8.1.
Really?
It's something small, yeah.
That they would, you know, a product with... Nobody adopted it.
Even Windows Vista was more not popular. As, you know...
Yeah, or ME. No, there was nothing more loathed than Windows 8.
Yeah, and it's quite an accomplishment given the history of Windows. You know,
it's pretty good.
Dark noted days.
Two of the stinkers.
Pretty good. And whatever happened to Steven Sinofsky? He's actually pretty active on the Twitter.
He is.
Yeah. It's amazing for a dead guy.
He's only dead to Redmond. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. If you're listening to this show, any of our shows, clearly you enjoy geeking out. And then I have to wonder, then why are you in your dead-end job that you hate so much? Now, maybe you love your job, but I bet if you love your job, you're probably in IT. You're thinking, no, Leo, I get to play with all the great tools and toys. I get to learn. I get to grow. But if you're not in a job that you love and you're learning and you're growing and you'd like to make great money and start a career in IT, you got to go to IT Pro TV. These guys really have nailed the best way to get skills, to get the certs, to pass the test, to get the certs, to get the job, and then to keep the job once you got the job in IT. And man, there are great jobs out there. Great money too. Like, I want you to check out IT Pro TV. If you like what you see and hear on Twit, you will love IT Pro TV. They do it very similarly. They have great trainers who are experts in the field. They stream live Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. They have 5 studios now, so they're always creating great shows. They get them from the live studio to the on-demand portion within 24 hours, so they always have up-to-date content. They're one of CompTIA's official video training partners. I think they are the official video training partner. That means if you're going for the A-plus cert, which is very popular, Network Plus, Security Plus, CompTIA has 12 on-demand courses in those fields. And when I say courses, I mean that's more than one video. It's many videos. But by the time you've gone through the course, you know your stuff. And it's not just cramming for a test either, by the way. You really know your stuff. I know you love this stuff. Why not make it a career? A great paying career in IT. Experienced IT professionals deliver comprehensive training at the click of your mouse. You can watch on your big screen TV. They have a Roku app, an Apple TV app, Fire TV, iOS and Android apps, plus Chromecast. Of course, you can watch on the web. You could listen in your car. You could drive to work, watch on your screen, get back home, put up your feet, get dinner, watch on the big screen. And because it's fun and engaging, binge-worthy content, by the time you're done, you just absorb all this great information. And it is so much more affordable than the other methods. If you've ever priced out a technical school to get an IT cert, tens of thousands of dollars. Even just buying the study materials costs you hundreds and hundreds of bucks. I've got such a good deal for you. Standard membership at IT Pro TV is just $28.50 a month. If you want the premium membership, which includes labs, you get an HTML5-based Windows server, Windows units. You can do these all in a browser. You don't even have to have a Windows machine to set up a Windows network and configure it and all that stuff. They also have all the videos, and they also have practice tests. All of that's $42 a month, but wait, there's more. They're still honoring their special offer, and I hope they keep doing this, but I can't promise they will, so this is the time to take advantage of it. 30% off, because you're listening to Windows Weekly, and not just for the first month or year, but for the lifetime of your active subscription. So that means standard membership is less than $20 a month, or $200 a year. Why wouldn't you do this? If you're at all interested in IT, why wouldn't you consider this? The premium membership, $29.50 a month, less than $300 a year. Boom, you pay for $300. That's what your study materials would cost you. And you've got a year of learning and a lifetime at 30% off as long as you stay active. I think this is great. Just go and look. Go to the website and look at all the different courses. You want to learn Wireshark. You want to learn security. You want to get that certified ethical hacker cert. Visit go.itpro.tv/windows. Don't forget the offer code WW30. That's the 30% offer code. You need to keep that. Get started with your standard or premium membership today. They also have team memberships if you have an IT department and you want to keep them up to date. And a lot of big, well-known IT departments are doing this. This is a great thing, too. You could go there, get a demo of the team portal and all that. It's like they call it the pro portal. It's go.itpro.tv/windows, the offer code WW30. I just think this is such a great deal, and I really want to support you in following your dream. So go to IT Pro TV. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. Visit go.itpro.tv/windows. Offer code's WW30. Now, I take that back because Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley actually have jobs they love. So you don't have to get into IT. But I know a lot of people who wish they were doing something more fulfilling. Windows 10, H1, 19 H1. The app mirroring is here.
It's here, here.
You're here.
Well, it's sort of here. Remember we saw this? We saw this in the fall when we were at the Surface event in New York. They showed really briefly the ability to mirror an app. It was Snapchat, I believe, on an Android phone onto your Windows 10 PC and then interact with it on the PC. And so they showed that, and they never said when that would show up, when people would get to test it, nothing. And then this week, Microsoft released a new version of their Your Phone application. And if you're one of the people who has a very specific configuration, you need to have a certain Samsung phone running Android 7 or above, and you have to have a Surface Go.
I have both.
You? And are you running 19H1 on
no.
it?
No. Of course not.
You have to have all those things in a row.
Is it like too late for me to sign up?
No, you could.
Just get into the Insider program?
Yep.
Is that a skip then, ahead or anything? That's just normal?
Just normal 19H1.
Okay.
Yep.
Normal fast ring.
Yeah. I mean, so the Surface Go must have this. Bluetooth radio supports low energy peripheral role.
Bluetooth LE. Yep.
Okay. And if you have all of those things, you can test this. Supposedly. I don't know anyone who has that combination of things who's talked about what it looks like or how it works.
Yep.
You, Paul?
Mm-mm.
Shoot, I wish I'd known. No. I would have set it up.
Yeah.
Darn it. Yeah, because I actually bought that Go.
I'm curious about it.
I have the new Samsung S10 too. I presume that's included in the list.
Yeah, S10 is on the list.
Yeah,
9, 10, 9 plus, 10 plus. Yeah. Right. So who is this for? This is the way Microsoft talks about this feature. They say it's for people who might not want to pull their phone out to do something on it. Instead, you could just mirror the app onto your PC and just sit there at your desktop and or your laptop and interact using your keyboard and mouse with your Android app instead of having to pull your phone out and then interrupt your workflow and work on your phone.
I think that's kind of cool.
I guess you could post to Instagram, which is kind of hard to do from Windows.
Yep. What else?
Yeah.
Check in a beer on Untappd from your
what
desk.
What I'd rather do is run Android apps on my Windows PC. For example, the tablet version of Outlook Mobile would be nice.
Yeah, you can't do that with this. That's not what that is.
It looks like from the screenshots, unfortunately, it mirrors the phone in that portrait mode. I mean, it looks like a emulator.
It's the phone. It's like it's literally mirroring the entire phone.
Yeah. It's still kind of cool.
I'll try it tonight.
You know, it's part of their whole Your Phone strategy where they're trying to make it so things that you would typically do on your phone are things you could do on your PC, like messaging and looking at your last 10 photos or however many photos.
That it's an app kind of makes it okay, but I find it strange after a couple of builds with no new features. Right at the end game here, they've released a new build of the next version of Windows 10 that has this feature. And of course, they're only for certain people. So there's going to be more builds and more iterations where it becomes broader. Now, it's an app, so it can be updated outside of the OS, of course. Right. So maybe the infrastructure work has been done. I don't know.
Right. Mostly for messaging, I would guess, right?
It works on messaging already if you have 1809, right?
Works. He means messaging apps that not the messaging
like the Android messaging apps, right?
Yeah,
Third-party messaging
apps. A lot of them have desktop versions, but a lot of them don't.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish they'd do this with iPhone. Zen, because that's a real problem. Apple Messages only works.
True.
Yeah. Well, of course, you're going to be able to run those things natively on the Mac pretty soon.
Well, you can run messages on. What do you mean natively?
Well, I mean, any iOS app. You know, that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have that. That's better than mirroring a device.
But
there's a theory here, Joe.
I'm sorry?
I have a theory about this.
You do?
Remember a couple of builds ago, they introduced this notion that we wanted people to test playing a game mm-hmm. we're not going to tell you what you're testing, right?
Yep.
So there's something in Windows 10 19H1 that they're not really talking about, mm-hmm. and we want to see what that is. I'm wondering if that isn't related to the thing that makes mirroring work, that there might be some kind of a... Because Microsoft is doing, like I said, there's an app now for the Xbox One that will mirror your game you're playing on your PC. Huh. I wonder if this isn't like a thing that, you know, like an underlying engine. Because if you think about like game streaming, which we'll talk about later because there's a bunch of Xbox stuff. Game streaming is the hardest thing to stream, right? Like a game.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I think it was OnLive, that company, one of the things that they found was that they could stream desktops really easily because they've already figured out the hard part. You know, they can do games. It requires, you know, high frame rates and so forth. Streaming things that don't require that is actually a lot easier. And I wonder if these things aren't all interrelated, that this has something to do with streaming back and forth between Windows 10 and other devices in two directions.
You know what? The more you're talking about this, Project Roam, right?
Yeah.
Project Roam is that framework that is the cross-device, people-centric experience that can go on your devices, and it enables you with the pickup you left off stuff. So that could be, they could be doing something with Project Roam.
Interrelated, It's curious. It's it's funny how cagey they're being about it, you know, and these things might not be related at all.
No, and they might be trying to save that for Build, right? Because Project Roam is the kind of thing they would talk up at Build a lot, right?
Is Project Roam generally available in some version? Is like the
SDK is version 1.0 for iOS and Android. Just that just happened in January, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Is that Roam as in R-O-M-E, the city, or Roam as in roaming around?
R-O-M-E, yep.
Okay.
You could be right. Just a thought. That could
just
be
a thought. I mean, that's what went through my head.
I like your thinking on that. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, my God.
All of my theories are wrong, just to be clear. But that's sort of where my head was at.
It makes too much sense, but
Wow. Intel just hired Chris Perillo.
They did?
No, that's not a nice reaction. Although it's
come on, to do what?
They did.
For what?
I guess he's kind of going where Ryan Schrott and Alan Malventano ended up. Intel Graphics Chief Community Advocate.
Well, he's a community guy.
Yeah, he's all about community, right? Hashtag
no,
I
laugh
am Intel.
He's a nut. He knows he's a nut. He likes being a nut.
Yeah, he's the locker gnome.
Yeah.
I used to lock guys like that in their lockers in high school.
That's why they call him the locker gnome, because he would always get locked in his locker. I'll never forget the day on the screensavers when we put him in our refrigerator. The old screensavers had a small, it wasn't even a big refrigerator, small refrigerator. Sure. We put him in there. And he popped out, scared the hell out of me. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract.
No. It's related, you know, Wintel.
I just found out, so, you know.
Between
Apple and Intel, all the podcasters and bloggers are going,
Not all of them, Leo. We're stuck here with you, so sorry.
Sorry. Sorry, Paul. I could talk to the people at Apple. They love me.
I bet they love you more than they love me.
Yeah. we're in among the unloved, all three of us here.
Yeah.
I should have done that a while ago. I don't really use a Surface Go that much. It'd be a perfect machine to put on the Fast Ring.
Yeah.
And then I can play with this. Because I love this. Galaxy S10 is really sweet.
It'll be a good test of whether screen mirroring is kind of process intensive.
Because that's such a slow machine.
It probably will work okay, I bet.
If that's the one machine they're beta-ing it on, it must work okay.
I would think so.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, the watermark is gone. That's a sign, right, when that happens?
Yeah, it's like when the crow crows twice or whatever at midnight.
When it flies backwards. Yeah.
It is
a
sign.
You can't say RTM, as we know, so we just keep saying it anyway, but they're getting
removing the watermark, they try to pretend it means nothing, but it indicates that they're at a certain point down the path. It doesn't mean things aren't going to change, you know. But there's a watermark on this thing, 93% of the way through the testing process, and then it disappears, and it just disappeared. So Take that as you will.
It makes sense. It's called 1903, which means it RTMs in March in 2019, right? Wow. Third month of the year.
Wow. It's the canary in the coal mine or something.
Aren't we all?
Yes, we are. Here's a new feature many mm-hmm. might enjoy, the ability to defer updates in the home edition.
I know.
Yeah.
Can that be?
So we'll see, right? We were just alerted to this because somebody on Reddit discovered that if you clean install the very latest build in 19H1, which is kind of an unusual thing to do, but if you do it, you'll see that the 7-day defer schedule has changed to a 35-day schedule, which puts it on par with Windows 10 Home Pro. Sorry. That is what we've been asking for a long time, you know, from all of Windows 10's history to date, a Windows 10 user, home user, does not have the ability to defer updates in any meaningful way whatsoever. There are workarounds and things like that, but there's nothing in the UI that helps them do that. Mary Jo has used the term guinea pig correctly to describe the relationship that those people have with Microsoft. They're guinea pigs. You know, they don't have any way to not get the next update. Mm-hmm. And so this is if this happens, it's a big deal. We had seen in the beta previously that they added a 7-day deferral to Windows 10 Home, which is a very tiny thing, but it's better than 0 days, right? 35 days, I think we would almost be at the point where we could say they finally fixed this problem.
And so you know what's really interesting? I'm looking at the guy on Reddit, he posted like a little interactive thing where he's showing you how he did it, right? So the pause for 7 days is still there on his screen.
That's how it works in Windows 10 Pro. So what they've done is they have a quick link right on the front page of Windows Update. That's 7 days. But you can actually go into the advanced settings and say, I want it to be longer than that.
Oh, you can. Okay.
So that was I'd have to look at it to see. So in 19H1, they added there's always been three options right there below check for update, change active hours, view update history, and advanced options. What they added in 19H1, because I'm on Pro here and I see it too, pause updates for 7 days. It's just like a quick link. But if you go to advanced options, you can actually pause updates. Oh, it's funny. They changed the UI for this, but it goes out. I can change it. Actually, that's interesting. Am I running home? Maybe I'm running home. Hold on.
Right. You click under select.
Let me look at that. Maybe I'm running home.
If you're running home and you didn't clean install, you won't see it.
No, because I'm not seeing the way to change it to more further out. So let me.
What if you click on advanced options and then
is there a select date? Yeah. No, they have pause updates, but actually it only goes out to March 20th, which is 7 days from now.
Oh.
So here's my guess. I think this is related to the fact that this is a beta over beta install. And because this is not how Windows 10 Pro works today, right? So typically when you go into advanced options, you have the full range of whatever the deferrals are. You can defer feature updates, right? You can skip a feature update or whatever. None of that is here right now. And I think it might be tied to what this guy was seeing on Reddit, because this UI is probably identical to what he's seeing at home. And it has never been that way in the past.
Yeah.
So I wonder if I were to, I'm not going to do this, but if I were to reset this computer and do a clean install, essentially, I bet I would see the correct options here. And it would be 35 days.
Yeah.
So
if it goes for home users to 35 days, it means everybody gets 35 days, right? Pro, home.
That's great. I mean,
Enterprise gets more, don't they?
Yeah. Well, Enterprise, you can defer.
You can do what you want.
But based on... Right. Whatever your licensing agreement is with Microsoft, if you're in long-term service and branch, whatever.
I think this would be really good if they did this. And you know what? Most home users or many home users wouldn't even know about this and would never do it, right? Like,
they just
wouldn't even know.
I know. I think it depends, right?
Yeah.
I think normal users wouldn't know.
Yeah, I feel
our
like
our readers would know, but you know.
I think these updates are like it's like when you go shopping online at some new place. Like I bought something from West Elm, and West Elm is a store that's part of a store consortium. So there are other stores, like I think it's Williams-Sonoma and stuff like that. I started getting email from every single one of these stores, right? Like five or six of them.
Yep.
Because I bought something online.
Right.
And so eventually you reach the point where you're like, oh, screw this. Like, and you go through and you manually unsubscribe to all of them. I think Windows updates are like that. You know, this thing interrupts you a couple times. You're like, okay, whatever. And then eventually you're like, you know what? No. Right. How do I fix this? You know,
and really, I mean, surprisingly, it's actually more the case that normal users don't want updates.
Right.
And would pause them. In fact, that's probably why Microsoft didn't allow this earlier, right? In Windows Home.
That's a good question. I think Mary Jo in her guinea pig comment is correct. I really think that they needed a broad range of users to test the system. I really do think that's what they were doing in the beginning. And I think I'm not harping on the insider program per se, but I think there is you're tilting the scale by default. The type of person who would join this program, a lot of them are going to tend to have Windows 10 Pro anyway, not Home. They're not typical users. They're, I think they needed a more representative view of the world. And I think that had something to do with it. I can't believe they kept it for this long. I can't believe they ever did it, but.
No, you know what? I bet they've got telemetry showing how few people will turn this feature on.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter.
And so they feel okay about it. They're like, you know what? Let's throw them a bone and let's let the people who understand this pause updates. And everybody else will
jerks
keep
Windows
being
Weekly
guinea
pigs. Yep.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that might be the case too.
But you're talking, but you're making sense. I mean, like, they have confronted by this behavior. Anyone normal would say this is not the right way to do this. And we're 3.5 years into this thing. You know? Almost
also
four,
an
really.
Incentive to make people pay more money to upgrade to Pro and Enterprise.
But for individuals, I don't feel like there has ever been a real push to get people from Home to Pro.
Right. They've never actively said, hey, if you don't like this no pausing thing.
Hey, did you know you could get Hyper-V with Windows 10 Pro? Like, I just don't.
You want Hyper-V, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, it's still in like A/B testing or whatever. Like, it's not for sure this will be in 19H1, this 35-day thing.
Well, now I'm concerned. I never even thought. I just looked at the interface in Pro and it's all screwed up. This is not what it should look like.
Oh, really?
It's like this thing has devolved to Home. So now I'm a little concerned. I'm going to look at it on other computers and maybe I will reset one of them because it shouldn't be like that. That's not how Windows 10 Pro behaves or has behaved to date. So I don't know what's going on there. Thanks, Mary Jo.
Just giving you something else to do besides play Call of Duty all day.
Oh, that's cold. Cold.
Yeah, it was warranted, but cold.
800 million. That's a nice round number. We were talking earlier about how many people are still using XP and 7, but actually, what was about January when Windows 10 finally became more than half of the installed base?
I mean, there's your number right there. If there are 1.5 billion Windows users, essentially, or active devices, 800 of them, 800 million are now Windows 10, so over half. But it's still, again, it's not 75%, 25%. The other 40-whatever percent, whatever it is Windows 7. So it's still pretty close. Yeah.
You know, the way they dropped that number was really strange, too.
Mm-hmm. Was it as strange as the way they told us they weren't going to hit the 1 billion figure?
Yeah, kind of not quite that strange, but Yusuf Mehdi just tweeted out one afternoon, hey, we just hit 800 million. Here's a link. And like there was no PR around it or anything. It was like, yeah, we're at 800 million.
So here's my theory on that one. We know that Terry was kind of cooking the books a bit on the number, right? So a lot of the earlier milestones when they hit whatever the numbers were, 500-600 million, whatever, were inflated, right? Because they were including virtual machines in that number. And virtual machines are not active devices, obviously.
Right.
And so at some point last year, there was a pause, if you will, between, say, April and, roughly Ignite timeframe where they never updated that number again, And then finally last fall, they updated it. I think it was last fall. This is probably 700 at some point, maybe right around Ignite.
Yep.
And now we've hit 800. So the good news here, I guess, is now we know the number's accurate. Right? Somebody who can handle math is apparently running the numbers now. And so that's good. And then you can also just look at that user base. We just talked about this 1.5 billion. Yeah. No, every one of those people is not going to upgrade to Windows 10, but some big chunk of them will. And this suggests that sometime in the next year, they probably are going to hit that 1 billion figure finally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, they'll get, that's a, whatever, 800 million, a billion. I mean, these are big numbers. It's still a very broadly used system.
Yeah, it's funny. Once I tweeted out about the 800 million, a lot of enterprise users started tweeting back to me, well, I'm going to be adding 10,000 desktops to that pretty soon.
Yep.
So, you know, because of the end of life of Windows 7. So a lot of people all at once are going to drop some big upgrade numbers onto that number.
If you add the normal, what's the opposite of attrition, the normal upgrade rate or whatever to the little bump they're probably going to get. Mm-hmm. From the Windows 7 upgrade cycles, it will probably happen a little more quickly because of that, right? So it's going to happen anyway. The billion thing is a guarantee, but it will probably happen quickly now because of this forced end of life thing with Windows 7.
Yeah, or it'll be a big jump in the use of Chromebooks.
Well, so it's funny you say that because I wrote an article about that a couple of months ago where I said, you know, everyone's talking about this big upgrade push thing, but I don't see why this isn't as big of an opportunity for Chrome OS, frankly.
Yeah.
And those machines are simpler and less expensive typically for the type of people, again, we were just talking about Mary Jo's mother, et cetera. They're not advanced users. They only do a couple of things. They only use it occasionally. I mean, a Chromebook would be kind of ideal for that kind of user for sure. The other thing, the other half of it, and you know, this doesn't impact the broader world, but Microsoft is really not pushing a Windows 7 to Windows 10 upgrade. They're pushing a Microsoft 365 upgrade, right? They want you to, you as the enterprise, to subscribe to a much broader range of services than just OS support. And I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if do you ever get any indication of pushback to that idea? I mean, is there still?
You know, I don't hear from a lot of IT pros who say, hey, we just moved to Microsoft 365. I mean, there are definitely case studies and indications there are big companies who are doing it. You know, a lot of the people who they highlight as partners now are doing this. But average IT shops, like, I think that's quite a ways off, if ever, that starts happening.
So they're more focused than on straight upgrade to 10.
Yeah.
Seems like, look, an OS upgrade is complex enough, right? Can you imagine?
Right.
It's like just dealing with all of that other stuff.
Although, you know, a lot of businesses, when they do an upgrade, they want to upgrade everything at once, the hardware, the OS, Office.
And Office.
They want to do it all one time, touch the desk once, and like just do everything at once. So maybe it'll take off more.
Tell you what's going to screw up these people more than anything are those new Office icons, you know? If you think Windows looks different or doesn't look different, those new Office icons look nothing like Office icons.
They just are like a blob of color with a letter, aren't they? Oh,
well. They look like Mac icons. Like they're so, just so out of place. Like I'm looking at, I've got the new Word icon in my taskbar next to the old OneNote icon for some reason. Yeah. And it just doesn't look, the OneNote icon looks like the other icons in my taskbar. Mm-hmm. The Word icon looks like something, it looks like something fake. Like you know, photoshopped.
You'll
it onto
get
the
used
taskbar.
To it. It's like fluent.
Yes, I mean,
once
no,
you
I think
see
they're cool
it,
looking.
Can't unsee
no, they're
it.
Not. Yeah, yeah, I know. But as they've upgraded these, the look of the icon over the years, right? Every several years, they change it a little bit. It's always been of a, you know, a family of, you know what I mean? Like they look,
they
it always
looks
like
same.
An office. Like, yeah, these look like nothing like, I don't know what this is. This
they're
looks
very
like,
colorful.
Like the Windows Light stuff. You know, it's very abstract, flat. Yeah. Well, flat with it has the sense of like layers of graphics. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I trying to say? Just layers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Like a little more vibrant and 3D, perhaps.
Yeah, like see how the letters, like WXP, there they look like they're floating above the grid they're in front of a little bit.
Is the theory? Maybe the theory is. I mean, I would say now that we are kind of in the post. Skeuomorphic era of computing where you no longer have to simulate a physical thing. A folder doesn't have to look like a folder. A document doesn't have to look like a piece of paper. That maybe what you're going for is quick recognizability. And I'm sure they've tested these.
Well.
But at a glance, that's Word. At a glance. Oh, that's Excel.
At a glance, I look at that thing and I think it's not Word. I think that's the problem. I've been using
Well, you're
Word
used to
20
it.
Plus years, right? So the other goofy thing is because it's Microsoft, as you can see, there are 8 icons there. There are approximately 4 other apps or more, depending on which version of Office you get, that the icons have not been updated, right? So if you scroll through like your start menu,
well, even
or
Skype isn't that updated. It looks like the old Skype one.
Actually, there is no Skype one. That's that's SharePoint.
Okay, lies the problem.
No, the Skype is on the bottom row.
Yeah, bottom right. Bottom left is SharePoint.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was sorry.
We have 10. I'm showing
something covering. That
Yeah. I have something different than probably what you're looking at. Somebody in the chat room gave me this very nice transparent ping of 10 icons. And let me just see if I can do this test. It's like an eye test at a doctor's. I'll cover my left eye. Okay. Word, Excel, PowerPoint. OneNote? It's an N. Yeah. It should be is Outlook.
O is for Outlook.
So N. Yeah. No one.
It's like that SharePoint book you get when you're a kid. You know, P is for Penguin.
SharePoint. What is the cloud? I don't know what the cloud is. Is that OneDrive?
OneDrive.
O is also taken. Y, yo mama. T, testing. S, Skype.
Yammer and Teams.
Jeez. Yep.
Where's Access and Project, guys? Come on.
Access, Project, Publisher. Let's see if I can find any.
You know what, Microsoft? This scheme isn't working because
it's
the initial letter isn't unique.
It's classic Microsoft.
By the way, I just lost my driver's license. Thanks.
What?
He has no depth perception.
DMV sent me a note saying, if you can't read these icons, you're taking Uber, buddy.
Nice. Yeah, but can you point your fingers?
Now I see the problem because no, I can't do that. No, the problem is that the icon background no longer really looks like anything. I mean, I see Yammer now. If I understand that's Yammer, it's like voices.
Well,
but
no, it's big. Look at the word thing. There are lines. It's meant to represent text.
No, I understand.
The Excel thing is a bit of a grid,
but not at a glance. You have to really think about it. OneNote, what purple? It could be my address book.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like a notepad.
Yeah, that's the problem. The what if N is for notepad?
They need to now rename everything so they have unique first initials.
I feel like Office has bigger problems than the names. But,
yeah, they do.
In hindsight, now that I've actually tried to recognize these, I don't like them.
So what you're not getting from this, A, is first of all, you're seeing it on a fake transparent background, right? So it's just kind of a white and gray thing. What you're not seeing is what these look like next to each other in the start menu or in the taskbar, what they look like next to the other icons.
I'll see that
soon.
You've got
to remember, and you can see this on my own taskbar. It's classic. Like modern UWP apps like Mail and Calendar have their own black and white 2D goofy look. Then there's something like the new File Explorer icon, which they've completely changed because they want it to look good with the new light scheme. It is high contrast, rich colors, very colorful. Chrome and OneNote, Photoshop, Skype are all kind of traditional flat, not 3D icons. And then there's Notepad, which, by the way, is the icon from Windows Vista. The Notepad icon has a glass surface on it because everything was glass back then, remember? It's also angled at, I don't know, 45 degrees, but let's say 15 degrees or 25 degrees, whatever it is. So it's looking over there. Mm-hmm. All the other icons are pointing forward. This one icon, Notepad, I'm sure there are a few others buried in the system. This is just what's on my taskbar, is from 2006.
You're going to do something bad to Notepad. I just know it. I feel it in
my
bones.
Fixing the icon would be a good thing, let me tell you. But it's just... What I mean is this kind of inconsistency, we're going to implement new icons, but only in some places, you know, and we're going to put fluid design system or fluid design, whatever it's called, in Windows in a haphazard fashion, a little bit in every version, you know, some interfaces will have these translucencies and these mouse over effects and then some won't. We're going to put a feedback thing in Notepad, but not in Paint. We're going to put a, you know, like there's just a million of these little examples. The Notepad is my favorite. It's just the Windows Vista icon that I have to stare at every single day with its beautiful greenish blue glass front like you've seen on so many notepads in your life. You know, it's bizarre.
The day they change that icon, though, I'm going to be lost. I'm going to be like, where's Notepad? I don't have it installed. Where is it?
Right. I wonder, what if there's an alternate icon and hidden in there somewhere?
Maybe. They're going to update the whole thing at some point, yep, for sure. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's just taking time. Notepad, you know.
Open source.
Yeah. First they'll open source it like calculator, and then they'll,
sure,
they'll give it a special icon, and then my glory days of Notepad will be over.
Hopefully they'll have a new office style icon.
Yeah.
It could have its own color.
Right.
Its color will be off-white. I don't know.
Anyway, I know people are really like, it always floors me how much design things get people riled up. I always say, I don't really see design things that often. I mean, if I saw those icons, I would know I had them. But
yeah,
I don't think I'd give it a second thought, really. I'd be like, oh, yeah, there's new icons, whatever. I don't care.
See, I obsess over this.
Yeah, I can tell.
It bothers me, you know?
I see that.
When I got the new icons, I was like, oh, that's cool. I got the new icons. I didn't know that was coming. And then I was like, how come it's only some of the icons? Why is the icon smaller than the other icons in my taskbar? It's literally like 75% the size of the other icons for some reason.
And it's really bugging you now?
Yeah, it doesn't look real. You know?
Okay.
Can I change it? Maybe I can put it back.
There's just different kinds of people in the world. That's all.
Some of them messed up like you.
20 minutes agonizing on,
I know. I'm like, wait, did we just talk about icons for 15 minutes?
It's not even in the rundown as far as I can see.
No, it's not.
Screw you guys. This is important.
You know what? It just means less time for Xbox later.
Oh, think of the bright side. Yeah. Wow, you know, Spotify has created a new website aimed at Apple, yeah, and Apple's, you know, what is it, 30%, as Paul puts it, vig, yes, on anything stolen, yep, sold on the Apple store. Yeah. The Spotify site is timetoplayfair.com, and that's exactly what they... You know, they say Apple is eliminating payment system choice and imposes a 30% fee on contest-based apps like Spotify, right, and at the same time prohibits us from showing customers how to upgrade any other way. We deem the 30% charges too expensive for our fans and our business, and Siri still won't launch a Spotify playlist. Yeah, no.
They make a really good point.
I think so.
You know, Apple. Yeah.
And by the way, they're not alone. Elizabeth Warren is making the same point, right? This is this is now getting into politics, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you saying?
I don't know. Something nonsense.
So Microsoft says they're going to do 5%.
Yeah.
Good.
Only consumer apps and only purchased a certain way. There's all these caveats to it. But still, this is what they said at Build last year, and now they're finally doing it. So,
yeah,
it's good.
Yep, it is good. And by the way, you know, this is the right behavior for someone who has one of the smaller app stores, right?
Exactly.
To kind of come into the market and just assume you can, you know, do the same as the big guys is kind of a weird form of hubris. You know, it's kind of like Google trying to sell their unreliable phones for the same price as an iPhone. It's like, guys, nobody even knows what your phones are. You gotta, you know, they used to do it right, usually did it right with the Nexus phones, which are often significantly less expensive than the competition, but were better in many ways, you know. The Google phones are better in many ways, but I just don't think they have the brand value. So anyway, whatever. Yeah. No one cares about Google phones. But the Microsoft thing with the 5%, this is just smart. It's right. It's the right...
Yeah.
It's the right thing for them.
And also, they don't have the monopoly. Apple has enforces a monopoly on apps.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
This is going to become heated, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify, I do too.
And Spotify, I think they, sees the writing on the wall, I think.
The European Commission is exactly the right antitrust body to go to with this, because their whole purpose in life is to keep competition as healthy as possible, and they make a great case that that is not what's happening.
However, on Apple's platform. And I'm wondering what you think the solution is. I mean, by having a monopoly on the App Store on iOS, Apple ensures a certain amount of security, right? And
yeah, but
don't they all, though? I mean, Microsoft does too.
Listen, we're getting, you know.
Yeah, but you can buy other, you can download other stuff on Android and Windows. You can't on an iPhone. You have to.
The problem is that Apple, this is a problem all over the tech industry. Apple is competing with their own partners. Apple, in this case, has a music service that competes with Spotify that isn't beholden to these same drawbacks. You know, Spotify makes the case that we would essentially have to raise our prices by 30% so that we earned as much from each customer as Apple does.
Well, in fact, they did. Remember, they raised it to $13, and then Apple comes out with Apple Music at $10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's blatantly anti-competitive.
Right. So I think they're going to find a receptive audience in Europe. So European Union moves very quickly. I'm sure this will be resolved within a few weeks. But they have a good case. I think it's smart.
He's being sarcastic.
Yes. So I don't know if you've ever observed how slowly things move over there. But yeah, that'd be my guess. They are an interesting combination of very happy to go aggressively after U.S. tech giants. And my God, do they move slowly. But whatever. They will absolutely find Apple guilty of this. And honestly, Spotify's remedies, as they list at the end of that blog post, the 3 points that they made are exactly right. This is what needs to happen. If every Amazon app on iOS, there's no store, which is confusing to normal people. Why can't I buy a Kindle book in the Kindle app? Yeah. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know, Netflix.
Well, it just inconveniences people, even if they understand it. It's like, I have to go to the browser to buy my Audible book or my Kindle book or my
Right. What was the, you might know, Leah? What was the estimated amount of money that Netflix was paying to Apple every year?
Oh, it was billions.
Because of this. It was hundreds of millions, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of money.
Yeah, and this is like these guys are all,
it was 800 million.
Yeah, it was some crazy amount of money, and it's like, guys, we're just throwing it. There's no reason for this.
853 million.
It's crazy.
A year.
Crazy.
So Netflix stopped.
Yeah, they're like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
I mean, you can do that, but if you're trying to sell a music service on an iPhone, it's pretty tough to compete against it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anyway, this
will not stand, man. This will not stand.
Still can't buy Corel Word Perfect in the store.
Yeah, but we can now get Corel DAW for the Mac. So.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for WordPerfect to come back. I miss WordPerfect. WordPerfect on the Mac.
Never went away. Oh, you mean to the Mac.
On the WordPerfect on the Mac was actually the best word processor on the Mac.
Is it really?
I used to use WordPerfect on the Amiga.
That I'm not going to vouch for.
Yeah, it wasn't great, honestly. But.
It was when Word, at the time, Microsoft Word, which was the big competitor, Microsoft wasn't even using Apple's memory management. I mean, they were going their own way.
Well, they ported their app. It was basically a Windows app running on the Mac.
And it was funky.
Emulation or something. It was terrible. Yep.
And Corel did such a good job with WordPerfect. I miss that on the Mac, but you probably don't care about that.
I do care about that.
Microsoft says, and I quote, it is now able to remove... This is a big deal. Steve Gibson spent some time on this yesterday.
Oh, man.
Faulty Windows updates without user intervention.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to rant on this one.
Yeah. Yikes. Get the gong, Paul.
Microsoft throws a support article out there saying, hey, we're going to be able to remove updates, including drivers and security fixes. We're not sure if it also includes feature updates when somebody has a boot failure. We can just do it. And restore your machine to a configuration that should work correctly.
Yeah, last known and then configuration.
Right. And then we'll block the update for 30 days. Okay, guys, where did this come from? Like, they just throw this out there. There's no announcement. No one in the Insider program tested this, right?
And that's,
they told me today, they told me today it's going to be in 19H1.
So,
okay. What?
let me circle this back, just because this is kind of an interesting coincidence here. Leo earlier mentioned Windows Me, Windows Millennium Edition, right? Which is one of the more reviled versions of Windows. But what people do forget about that version of Windows, that it actually was the first version of Windows that had many features that later became famous because they were also in Windows XP, right? But they a lot of these things debuted first in Windows Me. And one of them was driver rollback, right? Because in Windows 9X, before that, if you installed a bad driver and your computer would not boot, you were dead in the water.
That's right.
That was the end of it, right? So one of the, Windows Me actually had the ability to roll back that a bad driver and actually get back into the operating system. Now, it's not unattended or, you know, you had to do it yourself as the user, but you could do it. And let me tell you, that was a huge thing. And that happened, well, it was almost 20 years ago now. So what they, what you're saying is they're adding a feature that will do this automatically. That the, I can't believe they didn't use the word AI to describe how they're doing this.
I know.
That the system is automatically detecting that something went wrong with the driver you just installed through Windows Update, and it's going to roll it back automatically. It took them 20 years to add this feature to Windows, almost.
But it's a great, I'm not objecting to the feature.
Oh, it's a great idea.
But I'm objecting to the way they rolled this out, because everybody who saw this support page was like, wait, when is this happening? There's nothing on the support page that says this is in 19H1. It says it's happening already. Like, it made it look like it's already going on. And
so the theory here
don't
is
you that worry your pretty little head about that.
Guys,
it'll just happen.
Enterprise users.
I understand what she's saying. Normally, Microsoft is so good at communicating that this kind of sticks out. It's kind of a weird thing.
No, everybody who has to deal with, you know, doing anything around Windows Update and Windows Update services, they, when they saw this come down, they're like, wait, were they going to tell us they're doing this? Like, we have like policies in place in our organization to work around this kind of stuff and to work with this stuff.
Let me throw out a theory about how this is going to play in the real world, because on this very computer I'm using, which is an HP computer, I can get updates from Windows Update, and I also can get updates from HP through their HP support app. And over the past couple of months, they've been fighting each other because there are two drivers. One is for the graphics, integrated graphics, and one is for the, I think it's for the wireless adapter, Wi-Fi adapter. They want to be on different versions, right? And so if I install the HP version, it's newer, and then I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go to turn on my computer by hitting the key and it never wakes up, but it's really running in the background, but it's not displaying anything, and I have to turn it off and turn it on like an idiot. Or I can install the Microsoft version, which is older, and it warns me when I install it. Are you sure you want to do this? Because this version is older than the one on your computer. But if you say yes, everything works fine. Except that the HP thing will pop up and say, hey, we have a new version of this driver that you're running. And, you know, so it's like this constant cycle
back and forth.
Back and forth, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm imagining for this new system is that Windows will roll back a bad driver automatically. So you'll, whether you notice that or not, it's kind of hard to say. I guess you would notice it because you're rebooting the computer. And then we said it would wait a month, right? And then it will just install it again. It will fail again. Like, can you kind of imagine like this just happening over and over again?
Yeah.
I have a worse scenario, which is it rolls it back, can't work, reboots, installs it, reboots, rolls it back, reboots.
Yeah.
No.
Can you say boot loop?
You know what, though? That computer is super secure. You know what I mean? No one is breaking into that thing.
Nope.
Not even you.
Not even
me. I just feel like for the most minute new feature they add to a new Windows feature update, a new emoji, new this, a new that.
A press release.
Like press releases, new blog posts. Right. There's like
there's a
videos.
Mardi Gras party in Times Square.
And then this is actually big, and there's nothing.
It's funny you should say that, because Steve treated it that way too. He thought this is a huge story.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they are bad at communicating, but this is kind of a new level of low bar.
It may be that they just, you know, you don't need to, I mean, I was being facetious, but really, you don't need to worry about it. We're just going to do it. Don't worry. It's okay.
Yeah, you need to know. If you're IT administrator, you need to know.
Yeah.
The fact that Windows is implementing some version of some emoji standard is something no one needs to know. That this very important, crucial piece of infrastructure has changed is honestly something I think we do need to know.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard. We have a hard time focusing on the superfluous. Sorry.
We're not good at that.
It's all right. I'm getting a gong. That's all.
I like that she kind of went on a rant there, though. That was good. I don't even have a gun.
She's right.
Every day I'm sending emails to Microsoft. I'm like, hey, guys, remember this thing I brought up 3 days ago? Remember this thing? How about it?
Oh, boy. That doesn't surprise me.
So Taro Elhonen said they just changed the page to acknowledge this is in 1903. That's good. That was nothing about where this was up till
1903.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah. So 1981.
That's
an
improvement. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you.
Guys, come on.
We owe you.
And for that, we thank you.
And gong you.
And gong you.
Yeah. I have a digital gong. I hate to say it, but I think we probably should do this entire Xbox block.
Yep.
You should.
Yep.
And get it over with. Let Mary Jo.
How many items we have? There's like 8 items here. I can get through this quick, I bet.
Huge.
But this is actually, this is some big news here. So first of all, Microsoft did its first public demo of Project X Cloud, right, which is this coming game streaming service. They streamed one of the Forza games to, I think it was an iPhone or a smartphone of some kind. It was mounted onto an Xbox controller. And then they issued a blog post where they kind of said what you would expect them to say, right, which is, you know, we don't expect this to take over for consoles and PC gaming. It's going to be complimentary. It's going to let you play where you want to play, but you know, but of course they're going to say that, right? Like, they have a business now that they can't destroy by saying this new thing is going to be everything, but this new thing is going to be everything, I think. I mean, not that consoles and gaming PCs go away completely, but I think we're already in a place today where the vast majority of gaming that occurs is occurring on these mobile devices anyway. And I think this is going to bring high quality arcades, you know, or 3D style professional games where they belong, you know, which is wherever people are. So I think it's kind of cool. A console in many ways is like a desktop PC was, you know, a decade or so ago. I mean, naturally we moved to these devices, the laptops, 2-in-1s, whatever, where we can compute from anywhere. And I think that's happening with gaming. And I think that's what this is all about. So that's kind of cool. And then there were a bunch of smaller announcements that occurred as part of the same Inside Xbox broadcast that they did. There's a new version of their see-through controller, which is really white. It's white. It's really transparent. It's kind of cool looking. It's $70. It's coming out in April. Not the Elite controller everyone's looking for, but does look really nice. And then two game-related things that are actually really huge. And when you hear them, you kind of wonder why this didn't happen before. One is that Minecraft is finally coming to Xbox Game Pass. And I think that happens in April as well. And it's one of those things where you hear that and you're like, right, why wouldn't that have been in Xbox Game Pass? You know, one of the deals with the Xbox Game Pass was all first-party games are going to be there. And anyway, now it will be. And then perhaps even bigger, the Master Chief Collection, which is all the main Halo games, had come out on Xbox One actually right a couple of years ago at least. It is coming out finally on Windows. And so we haven't seen a top-tier Halo game on Windows since Halo 2 was released in the Windows Vista timeframe. So this is going back, 12, 13 years. I don't remember the exact number of games, but it's, you know, Halo 1 through 5 plus Halo Reach and some other games. They're going to release it over time. It's not clear if you own Master Chief Collection on Xbox, if you just get it for free on Windows. You know, there's not a lot of information yet, but they did confirm that they're remastering all the games, bringing them to Windows. It's a big deal. I don't know why this hasn't happened yet. Halo is their biggest gaming IP. Well, maybe Minecraft is now, but Halo is the one they've had forever. And they just don't seem to do a bunch with it. But now they are finally bringing it to Windows. So finally, I'm not going to go through all the games, but Microsoft, ahead of this, the GDC rather, announced 13 new ID at Xbox games. Just as a reminder, that's their independent game studio program. And so they have, I don't know, some of the 24 or 36 games are going to be promoting at the show. But they announced 13 new ones just the other day. And then in kind of a goofy cross-platform note, and I don't know how this – I'm not really sure how they get away with this, but Epic's now by default, if you play Fortnite on Xbox or PlayStation 4, you will be teamed up against players on either console. So you'll actually be cross-platform gaming.
Is that good or bad? It feels like that's bad.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
In my opinion – PS guys are kind of...
That's the problem. See, I think that's how Xbox guys think.
Kind of shady.
They don't want to hang out with the PS guys.
Yeah, we're there for a reason. I don't know. I'm curious about that. So that one's interesting. I generally speaking, I would say I'm for this kind of thing, especially when it's a console. Once you move something to, you know, PC and Xbox, it gets into kind of a gray area.
Yeah, yeah. But that's because the controls are so different.
Yeah. But I Xbox, PlayStation, yeah.
We're just talking about the PlayStation people are such weenies.
Having played the recent Call of Duty games on both consoles, I will say the experiences are nearly identical. It's the same sort of
as long as they're
people
the same,
camp in the same place as the same idiots, you know.
But it's mostly about the controls and latency, and you know, you want to be at parity.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so I don't know how they're doing this. In fact, I thought Sony explicitly blocked this kind of thing. So anyway, they've enabled it. I don't know what to say. So I haven't tried it, but it's interesting. It's Wednesday, so we have another Xbox One sale. This sale, which I don't remember how long it runs, it doesn't really matter. But if you buy any Xbox One or bundle, which means Xbox One S or Xbox One X, you can choose from an unknown list of games and get a free game up to $60 value. So a lot of times what we see on Xbox is you get $50 off. So depending on which game you get, this might actually work out in your favor. The general advice here always is don't ever buy an Xbox if it's not on sale. They're always on sale. You can wait a week. It will be on sale. And then finally, just in passing, I wanted to mention that Google next week is going to keynote at the GDC for the first time ever. They've attended the show. And of course, Android is one of the biggest gaming platforms on Earth. But the fact that Google is keynoting and the fact that a game controller made by Google has leaked in patent form to the internet suggests that they're going to announce something major, either a hardware device, which would be unusual, or maybe a game streaming service of their own, which is what I expect them to do. So maybe this time next week we'll have some news about that. But the controller did leak. And by the way, speaking of Xbox versus PS or PlayStation, I'll just show my controller here. If you look at where these two little thumbsticks are, you can see how they're oriented on the PlayStation. This thumbstick is on the other side of the D-pad. It's closer. They're closer together, and that's what the Google one looks like. That immediately makes me hate it as an Xbox fan, but I suppose it's something I could get used to.
Google's got that streaming announcement. I think that's why Microsoft wanted to show the Forza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if this makes sense to you, but I find that when Microsoft wants to show off performance and graphics at the same time, because oftentimes there's a trade-off between the two, they always go with a Forza title. And there must be something about racing games that enables like high frame rates plus high definition graphics and HDR. Like you can do all of it at once and it just kind of works.
I have a theory.
Yeah. I'm dying to hear this because I don't know why they do this all the time.
I bet you there's less CPU involved in a racing game. You're not on rails, but you're a little kind of sort of on rails, maybe.
Yeah, like in other words, you're probably not. Yeah, like in a shooter, you could literally turn around, take a left, go off into the woods.
Calculate everything all around you.
Yeah. Okay.
That is
the game they streamed on the device. And as soon as I saw that, I have to say I did have a little bit of a negative, reaction to it because it was clear to me that they were choosing the best case scenario.
Oh yeah.
You know, for what it was going to look like, and it looked, you know, looked fine or whatever. But
we're streaming the Google keynote on Tuesday.
So what do you think they're going to announce? What's your theory here?
I mean, no one knows, but the rumor is, well, first of all, it's Google at GDC, the Game Developers Conference, so it's going to be, and we know Google, like Microsoft, like Sony, like everybody else, is working on streaming gaming. And Google's well positioned to do that. I mean, not only do they have Android, they have Chromecast, they have Cast devices. Well, but
so here's the question: they have released stuff in the past that suggests they're going to allow other like game making companies.
They had Assassin's Creed on Chrome.
But do you think Google will actually release? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you think they'll release their own service for end users?
So okay. I think the consensus opinion is there's two. One is, almost certainly they have a service. I mean, that's what they were doing with Assassin's Creed. They were showing Origins. They were showing how you could play it on a Chromebook through a streaming server on Chrome. So that's going to be a service. And it's good for Google because they have a lot of low-end hardware.
When you say Assassin's Creed, do you mean a real Assassin's Creed game or one of those side-scroller things?
Well, I don't remember because I never got into it, but
well, in other words, Assassin's Creed's kind of a third-person open-world type
game. No, I know the difference. Chrome, Assassin's Creed. My sense was it was Origins, but I might be misunderstanding.
Okay, I mean, that's actually
that's the full
That's pretty impressive. It
makes Assassin's Creed playable in Chrome. Yeah, it's yeah, it's the full, you know, first person shooter. It was Odyssey, I'm sorry, which was the Greek version of it. Okay. Streaming at 1080p 60 frames. So that's clearly a technology, probably a service that Google will start selling. And it's really in their interest because they have a lot of this hardware that could use it. Secondly, there has been speculation they're going to do hardware.
That's right. That's why I kind of mentioned that. That seems like they literally, the news just came out today that they're scaling back on laptops.
I'm not sure I believe it. Right? Yeah.
Oh boy, I don't know. I don't believe that there's any real market for a gaming smartphone, right?
Right.
I do think there is a market for super high end smartphones like a Galaxy S10 for games.
This was the Chrome version. Project Stream, they call it.
1080p streamed it. It was 60 frames.
Yeah.
So cutting off the edge of the screen. Sorry.
I don't think they want to make hardware unless they make what they could make. Is something like a Chromecast, something cheap,
right?
That is basically cast enabled.
Yep.
And it, you know, it plugs into your internet, plugs into your TV, and now you've got this controller.
So maybe you're using the phone as the power, and it's beaming to a good TV, like a good screen, big screen, and then you have a controller.
Right.
Yeah,
that would make sense. And that, you know, Chromecast is what, $35. So I think it's much more likely something like that. But we're going to find out Tuesday at 10 a.m. We're gonna stream it.
So I blew through the Xbox stuff, but one of the comments I had made when I wrote about xCloud was that, you know, in the Microsoft post, which again is very much like, guys, don't worry, we're not getting rid of consoles. It's, you know, people love to have like a 4K HDR display and blah blah blah. It's like, guys, we have that. It's called a smartphone. Like, there are far more powerful smartphones out in the world than there are consoles stuck in a room with a screen. Like, it is amazing what's possible on a mobile device now.
Oh yeah.
What's lacking is, like, you know, good controller schemes. And
this S10 Plus is a terabyte of storage.
I know.
12 gigs of RAM.
That's nuts.
855, which is as fast as a desktop class. A better screen than anything I got at home.
Exactly.
It's just small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Clip an Xbox controller to that thing, and it's awesome. You know?
It is. In fact, we had a device that is exactly that, a controller with a little mount, and you can play the game. And it's actually very – it competes well with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. I expect – that's what I expect from Google is standardize what that means on Android.
Yeah.
And basically any, you know, top-tier phone is your – you know, is the gaming device, but you need a controller. And, you know, there'll be like a standard way for that to work. And it should work with, if not every game, basically. It should work with every game.
So, Mike, what does that mean for Microsoft? Is that what I mean, it seems to me that's why Microsoft's showing off this.
So Microsoft wants their service to work across all devices for the same reason, right? Because they've hit a wall with Xbox. Like the console itself, they're number three again. It's a low margin, if not a loss of a business, and they're just not getting a lot of traction there. You know, so they can expand their services out so they get stuff on the PC, which makes tons of sense. But really, if they want the mass market, they have to go after smartphones and tablets. And the problem is Google's one of the platform makers, right? So it's a lot like this Android, you know, we're going to run Android apps by beaming them from the phone to your computer. Like, that's what you have to do when you don't control the platform. You know, Google and Apple both have the ability to integrate this stuff deeply into the platforms, and they have in the form of, we're going to run those apps natively, which is a better way to do it. And so Google, even though they have zero presence in games today, beyond the fact that Google Play, you know, sells games, they're a major threat to Microsoft in this future market for sure.
You're right. This is a hideous controller. But this is from the patent. This is a patent.
You see what they did with the thumbsticks to screw up? It's terrible.
Yeah. But on the other hand, maybe this is part of a larger device that includes your phone. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We'll see. We'll see.
It's a good time to be a gamer. Sorry, Mary.
You know, it says Leo.
It's
a great time to be a gamer.
It's a great, by the way, great Onion headline that says, man has now spent, and it's a picture of a guy playing a video game. He says, man has now spent more time fighting Nazis than his grandfather did 60 years ago. You know, something like that.
I think you're well over that threshold, Paul.
You're
well
way
over
beyond
it.
That.
Yeah. Paul's war has lasted 12 years.
Plus, I got to fight the Nazi zombies.
Yeah. And you won. Totally parenthetically, we've been watching Peter Jackson's movie about World War One.
Oh, I want to see that.
It's for rent now.
No, I've seen the scenes from it. I want to see them.
Oh, my God. So Jackson, of course, the creator of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, and a really horrible movie called Mortal Engines. It seems like he just lost his way somewhere, but has also been working on restoring World War One footage.
Right.
And
They've added audio. They've had lip readers read the lips. And they
got people from those regions.
Or from those places, so they sounded like those guys. That's amazing.
Wow, that's cool.
They shall not grow old, and you can get it now on your...
is it actually available now?
Yeah, you have to buy it, but you can rent it
in
a couple
of weeks.
That's
fine, I'm going to buy it. I want to
see it's $20. I bought it because it's... But I'll tell you what.
I thought it was like theatrical.
You're gonna say, wow. It's not at all like Call of Duty.
Well, okay, but so the thing I have seen is, like, when I use the elliptical, I watch, you know, Netflix on a TV or whatever, and I went through the, I think it's like World War II in color or whatever.
Yeah, good. That's 10, really good.
15 years ago was basically the same thing. But when you look at the quality of it, it's like a, you know, it's black and white footage that has, like, watercolor paint on it. I mean, it looks terrible. And when you see the thing that Peter Jackson did, it's hard not to look at something like World War II in color and think, Could we do that to this too? Because you know that footage is out there and he spent a long time
doing this. This is a lot of work, by frame by frame.
Sure.
But if you forget All Quiet on the Western Front. If you want a movie, an anti-war movie, holy cow. Mm. I mean,
what is it called again?
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Where did you buy this?
I got it on iTunes, but I'm sure that means it's available everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we made the kid watch it.
I didn't realize it was available yet.
Yeah. Well, and just a word of warning, it's like The Wizard of Oz. It starts off with the old footage. All through training, it's the old footage. Then when they get to the war, it becomes the new restored footage. And it's all of a sudden you go from 4:3 black and white shaky cams to 16:9 color. You're there. It is extremely graphic.
I am all over this. I didn't realize it was available on video.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It will change your tune. Let's talk about Microsoft. They're going to battle against Foxconn. Wow.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. You know, I wanted to put this story in because Paul's always talking about, you know, too much open source love and it's just getting too good over there. Well, it's never going to be that good because back in 2013, Microsoft signed, remember when they were signing all those patent agreements with Android and Linux and Chrome OS vendors? They were basically threatening them without saying it publicly.
I miss those days. Exactly.
Remember those days? You've got some software that might infringe on some of our patents. Wouldn't it be terrible if something happened to your users?
It'd be terrible if Vinny took you up back and something happened.
Yeah. Now Foxconn is saying, why do we owe Microsoft any money? We never paid them any patent monies. So if they didn't, they owe them a lot of money dating back to 2013 when they signed this, when Han Hai, their parent company, signed the patent agreement with Microsoft. and Microsoft's saying they want to go through their books and they want to go after them for the back money owed. And Foxconn is just saying, hey, we don't believe manufacturers should have to pay software royalties.
What royalties for what? For Windows?
No, indirectly, because back in those days when Microsoft was signing all these patent agreements, they were saying Android and Linux and Chrome OS infringed on Microsoft patents, and they got the companies to sign patent licensing agreements, which almost always included royalty payments. There were very few that did not. So this ought to be interesting how this shakes out now, because they're pretending they don't owe them anything and Microsoft has a signed contract.
And the best part of the story is that guy that you mentioned, the guy who runs Foxconn, is insane.
He is.
There's an awesome video of this guy. It's basically like the Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table thing. It's exactly like that. It's awesome.
No, he's not going to back down. He's not going to just be like, okay, we'll give them their money. No, it's not going to be that. I mean, maybe they will have to give them their money once the lawyers are done. But so don't worry, guys. They're not totally a kinder and gentler Microsoft. When it comes to royalty payments for patents, they're still out there getting their money.
Yeah, baby. That's what I like to see.
Paul's like, yes.
Wow. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting.
And I do they sue them in China or do they sue them here and make them?
California.
California.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Let's see how that goes.
Gao, Microsoft.
I call it the Chinese Republic of California.
And mighty proud of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and then we just have a really fast Surface item because Microsoft's adding two new models of Surface to their lineup starting in the U.S. and Canada. They're both one is the Surface Pro 6, one is the Surface Laptop 2, and they both are going to have Core i5 models with 16 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage. Which don't exist, I guess, in those lineups right now. We don't know what the price is going to be, but it should be available in the U.S. and Canada later this month. So we should know soon.
Cool. Yeah. Folks, we're going to take a break and come back with the back of the book, tips, picks, and beer just around the corner. But first, a word from our sponsor, Atlassian for IT. A lot of developers know the name Atlassian. Of course, Jira is the king of agile development. But, you know, Atlassian is a collaboration software that empowers IT teams around the world as well. Because IT is right at the center of this revolution, this cloud-based revolution. IT is the front lines. They're the guys in the trenches that have to plan and execute, and they got to do it fast, and they got to do it right. Everything's much more complex than it used to be. Incidents often require more than just, you know, some guy goes and fixes it. You've got to be, you know, agile. You've got to have smart coordination between operations and software development teams. It's a team sport. And as you know, in team sports, communication is everything. And with IT sitting in the middle of this, you know, the stakes are high. You got to get it done. You got to get it done right. And you got to get it done fast. And everybody's got to be in on the fix. Falling short inside of business critical workflows is just not an option. It's why so many teams, including ours, by the way, have turned to Atlassian. Of course, we all know Jira, but Atlassian is the company whose software tools are designed to manage complex collaboration and not just for programmers anymore. Atlassian offers an affordable, reliable suite of tools for teams of any kind and all sizes, from DevOps to Agile to IT apps, to ops, to ICSM, and whatever's next. So I want you to kind of think of Atlassian as your backstop, as your assistant there, and getting the job done right the first time and keeping everybody up to date. Atlassian provides all the tools to help modern IT organizations plan, service, and support the change that's happening right now and is propelling business. So we got Jira. Confluence, which is great. We use Confluence. So we use Jira to keep track of incidents, who's working on them, the current stage that they're in, and that great satisfying feeling when you slide it to the completion column. But we document everything as we go in Confluence, and that's great because you don't have to leave one tool to use the other. If you have a code-based Bitbucket, it adds to that, you know, complete set of tools. They're really the backbone of effective cross-team project planning, organization, and communication. But there's other things you got to keep track of. And Atlassian's got tools for that. Ops Genie and Status Page helps you detect incidents better, coordinate response efforts, resolving issues faster, and again, keeping customers and stakeholders up to date. It's so important. We use Atlassian. You should use Atlassian. You can choose the tool that's right for your current framework and trust that as you grow, Atlassian's tools will grow with you. It all integrates seamlessly. Jira, Confluence, everything's there. Your team doesn't have to bounce from platform to platform. And like all of Atlassian's products, the tools for your IT team are easy and free to try. You got to look at them. You got to consider them because it's going to solve a lot of problems. You don't need more problems when you're solving the big problems. You need Atlassian. Go to Atlassian.com/IT. Don't let your tools get in the way. Let them support you. Find out which Atlassian tools are right for your IT team. Atlassian. Try Atlassian today to see what IT can be. That's Atlassian.com/IT. We kick things off in the back of the book with Mr. Paul Thurrott's Tip of the Week.
the previous free release of the original Crackdown on Xbox One via backwards compatibility. Backward compatibility, sorry. Crackdown 2 is also now available for free on Xbox One. So
a lot of numbers in there. So Xbox One, but it's Crackdown 2.
Right. So Crackdown 2 was originally an Xbox 360 game.
Ay, ay, ay.
And, yep. And it's available now for free.
Is it 360 still, or is it officially fully Xbox One?
It's a backward compatible game, so it's still the 360 game, but it's running now.
You know, I'm prejudiced, and I shouldn't be. I avoid those, but they look good, right? I mean, they've updated the graphics and everything.
Yeah. And I don't believe I've ever played Crackdown 2. Crackdown 1 is one of those games I actually finished. Like, it's an excellent game.
You never forget. Yeah. It's like.
Yeah. Crackdown 2, I don't. Yeah, I didn't try it. It's free.
We should get it. It's free. Try it.
It's free. You should get it. And then I think this came up earlier today on the podcast somehow, but Spotify premium users can now get a free and ad-supported version of Hulu for free with their subscription. That's not going to cost.
It's the ad version, not the.
The ad-supported version. Right. That's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, there's no way to kind of upgrade it, which is goofy. But
still, that's a deal because isn't the basic version of Hulu like $10? I mean, it's.
Yeah, I think it might be $6 or $8. I don't remember exactly, but it's. It's a great deal.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of this as Apple readies whatever it's getting ready for next.
I think that's exactly what the timing was all about. Yeah. You know, remember last year Apple or Spotify did a deal where if you were a premium customer, you could get a free Google Home Mini. And then in their next quarterly earnings, they noted that they took some huge hit because these people got it. So I can only imagine this is going to have the same impact on them. But that's one of the other costs of doing business, you know, when you're competing against Apple. So you got to do what you got to do.
Got to get the customers.
Yeah. If
it's
you're Spotify premium.
It's confusing, though, because like I get free stuff because of T-Mobile. I get, and then like I have a Netflix, but I get free Netflix. And I bet you a lot of people just go, fine, whatever. I already got one.
I pay for the most expensive Netflix because my kids use it in different locations. Yep, and we have 4K TVs and blah, blah, blah.
And the most expensive Hulu too. So I wouldn't bet.
Yeah. It is. Yep. Yep. We just started doing HBO now so we can catch up on Game of Thrones watch True Detective. But I'm looking forward to canceling that in May or whatever.
The new season of True Detective is the best of the three.
Yeah. That's going to be the really first thing we watch.
Really good. And Crashing turns out to be better than I thought. It wasn't so great in the first couple of seasons.
Oh, interesting. I have to say, so just looking through the app last night, honestly, there's a bunch of stuff on here that I'm going to want to watch.
That's coming back. Yeah. Veep last season, that's coming back.
I love Veep. Chris, we're caught up on Veep.
Some people think of this as spring. I think of it as HBO time.
It's not spring fashion season. No. It's spring new show season.
Winter is coming.
Yeah. Remember in the old days, there was no new TV in the summer, and now that's completely different.
Yeah, it's completely flipped.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So a couple of app picks. The Chrome has been updated to version 73. If you're on a Mac, you'll get dark mode and PWA support, which is awesome. But if you're on Windows, this is kind of interesting. You get DuckDuckGo support in 60 markets. Now, apparently, Google did a rejiggering of how this works, but I guess they look at the top five search engines, and so they hadn't done it in a long time. And when they did, they realized DuckDuckGo is actually in the top five. So now you can add DuckDuckGo as your default search engine in Chrome. You could do it before, but you had to install a plugin, right? So now you can just add it right from the browser. There's no extension or whatever. There's no extension required. So that's kind of cool. And CorelDRAW Graphics Suite 2019. I don't know why that came up earlier, but it did. But yes, it is here, and it's on the Mac now in like full-featured native app form. It's not like a port from Windows or anything. That's kind of interesting. There's also a web app called CorelDRAW.app, which you get for free if you buy into the suite and so forth. And I give Corel some credit because they offer this in two different ways. You can buy it in perpetual form like Microsoft offers with Office 2019, or you can buy it in a subscription form, and then you get the next version, obviously, if your subscription is ongoing. But they don't make the on-prem version or the perpetual version like worse. Like, it's the same thing. And so the way it basically works out is the full cost of the suite, if you subscribe over 3 or 4 years or whatever, you'll basically pay the same amount, but you'll benefit from just getting the new versions. And so I think it's kind of a fair way of doing it. And then if you will allow it, this is sort of a reverse pick, if you will, which means I'm looking for help, which is that I've been using Pocket Cast. I mentioned last week that they upgraded to version 7. It's driving me insane. And I have been binging a podcast that is one of those things where you kind of cherry pick the episodes you want to watch, or listen to. So you don't have to listen to it like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the way they've changed the interface now, it makes it impossible for me to tell. I have to go into every episode to see if I've listened to it now. And it's making me crazy. And I listen to podcasts every single day. I've been using this app for years. So I'm just curious if you guys listen, if you have a recommendation for a podcast app. I've looked at a bunch of different things. Cross-platform is preferable.
I think Pocket Cast is really the king of the hill.
Yeah, still.
I don't like that new interface, but it's still, one of the advantages it has, and for somebody like you, I think this is real, is that with an account, it remembers your podcast from on different platforms and different phones.
So, by the way, one of the other issues, I just experienced this driving back to when I went to Boston a couple of weeks ago. It doesn't always do that. You're right. It one of the nice things is if you listen on one phone or whatever and go to a different device or go to the web, whatever, it catches it up, right? So you're always in the right place.
But also it remembers your subscriptions, which is handy.
Yes. No, that's for sure. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I just feel like I've run into a wall with this thing.
No. And you don't do video. I don't like it. Yeah. You've done Overcast. I guess that's iOS.
I looked at Spotify. I looked at Google Play Music. I looked at Google Podcasts.
The podcast is getting features. It was so feature light at first, I wouldn't recommend it. But on Android, cool thing you can do is you can make an icon for any show you listen to.
Yeah.
That's kind
of They don't have automatic downloading, which is the most basic podcast feature of all time. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
That's what a podcast is.
Right. I'm sure they're going to add it. They have cleanup options. Like if I've listened to it, get rid of it in 3 days. Or if I've not listened to an episode for 90 days or whatever, get rid of it. They have that kind of stuff. But they don't have
Pocket Cast does that perfectly. I agree. Pocket Cast has now that they're owned by public radio, I think they've gotten a little worse. The new UI is a little disappointing. But it's still got more. It's more features than anybody, I think.
I just feel like that might be part of the problem. Like I kind of just have these basic needs.
Yeah.
And I think there's too much stuff going on, and it's a little convoluted.
Yeah. No.
To find things like I want to see the list of the most recently downloaded episodes of whatever of all podcasts. You know.
Yeah.
It's there, but it's under filters, and then you have it seems like everything's an extra step.
I guess I use it just kind of naively by just going from show to show to show. But I agree. It's gotten, they've overdone it. I don't know. I wish there were, that's something we need as podcasters.
I know. Yeah. I'll keep looking.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess that wraps it up. So we should move to Mary Jo Foley and the Enterprise pick of the week.
The Enterprise pick of the week is System Center 2019, which I don't think I've ever made System Center a pick. It's way overdue, especially because there's news this week. First, if you've been wondering, where is System Center 2019? It is coming this month to a volume licensing center near you. Secondly, if you're wondering, is Microsoft going to keep doing these twice monthly feature or even more frequent feature updates to System Center, these things called semi-annual channel releases? The answer is no. So Microsoft's doing away with SAC for System Center, saying that users didn't really want it. They said they preferred the long-term servicing channel because update cycles were longer and more stable. What does that sound like? Windows, doesn't it? Except in Windows, they're going to keep going with the SAC twice monthly feature updates for client and server, as far as we know. But System Center is no longer going to have this. It's going to be just long-term servicing center releases, which I think will be about every 3 years. The in between those three-year periods, they're going to do updates, like a update roll-up kind of thing, and add that to the long-term servicing center branch, which seems to make a lot of sense. But the one product in the System Center family that is going to continue to be updated actually three times a year is Configuration Manager. So if you use Configuration Manager, you're still going to have these regular, frequent updates. But if you're using any of the other parts, you're only going to have to deal with these big basically once every 3 year updates. So that's the enterprise pick.
Mm-hmm. How about a developer pick? You haven't done that developer pick ever.
I think we've done once, maybe. And Leo probably knows about Dtrace. Do you?
Oh, you give me more credit than I deserve. No.
Okay.
I mean, I know what it is, but I've never used it.
Yeah. So Dtrace is a very popular open source Unix tool for debugging and diagnostic tracing. Support for it is coming to Windows 10.
That's pretty cool.
With the 19H1 release.
Yeah.
So this is something that a lot of people use. It actually was built originally for Solaris. And Microsoft talked about this coming at Ignite last year. But now the instructions, the binaries, and the source code are all available. What Dtrace does is it lets you look into a system and see things like kernel function calls, properties of running processes, probe drivers, you know, the things you want to do as a diagnostician. Is that a word? Anyway, that's the pick. It's coming in 19H1, which should be out, start rolling out to the mainstream around April this year.
Nice. Oh, man, I need a beer. Fortunately.
I have a perfect pick for today, yes. I have to say. I've outdone myself on this pick.
Wow.
Sunday is St. Patrick's Day.
Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. And we don't drink green beer. In fact, I think, as I remember, you stay home.
Yes. You don't want to go outside. It's amateur hour on St. Patrick's Day. But if you are going to drink beer on St. Patrick's Day, and who isn't, you would probably like a dry Irish stout. Luckily, you don't only have to go with Guinness. There are a lot of other options these days. And Two Roads Brewing from Connecticut has an excellent stout that's available on Nitro Pour in many places. And it has a great beer name. It's called the Irish Exit.
What does that
mean? Not sure if everybody knows what that is.
I don't.
If you're from New England, you know.
It's like a tax strategy.
No. If you're from New England, you know. So if somebody makes an Irish exit, it means they leave somewhere without saying bye to the people who they're with.
Oh, I do that every time. Is that, there's a name for
that? I do too.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
I call that the classic Thurrott chew and screw.
Exactly. You don't want to take like the extra half hour to say bye to everyone. So you kind of exit out the side door and everybody said, where'd you go? I made an Irish exit.
Is that frowned upon?
Some people frown upon it. In my family, it's kind of standard behavior. But
I always want to say goodbye to the host, and the host is thank you for a lovely time.
I'm kind of famous for just taking off, and people are like, wow, where'd
family
you go?
Events, it makes tons of sense, because eventually someone's going to start crying, and you just want to get out of it.
Yeah.
So it's called Two Roads Irish Exit. It's a dry Irish stout, low ABV. You can drink a lot of them. And
so you mentioned Nitro Pour, and I'm seeing that more and more.
Yeah. Have you ever had that like for a coffee?
Yeah.
You can get Starbucks Nitro Pour.
So what is it? They don't use oxygen. They're not using air. They're using.
How do they do it?
An inert
gas.
Like
forcing? Yeah, they're like forcing it to coffee or beer.
Yeah. Right? What is the advantage? It doesn't oxidize. Because there's no oxygen,
I don't know what
so
the advantage is. To me, it tastes much more creamy and smooth.
In beer, the head becomes very fine.
Yeah.
With the Nitro Pour.
I'm not sure exactly how they do it technically. I could look that up, but...
They gas it up with nitrogen instead of air, I guess.
Yeah. Here, nitrogen bubbles are smaller than CO2 bubbles, meaning the beers don't feel as carbonated when they're on Nitro Pour.
Yeah,
I should have known that. But so if you ever have a stout on Nitro Pour, it's so smooth. It's almost like you're drinking like hot chocolate.
So normally they use carbon dioxide to fizz it. This is nitrogen instead. Actually, it's still got CO2, but it's a little more nitrogen.
Less or something.
70-30, 70% nitrogen. Nitrogen is mostly insoluble in liquid, which is why you don't end up with a lot of prickly bubbles in nitro beer. You get a gas that buoys up the creamy head. How many times have I said that? They're smaller bubbles. On the other hand, you don't get the aromatics pushed up into the glass that CO2 does. So,
It's worth it, though. It's really, really nice and smooth and easy to drink.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I'm glad to.
By the way, Android Q beta is out.
We knew it was coming. I brought my Pixel 3 just in case.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can start getting that thing ready.
So exciting. Just got this thing working finally. Okay. Well, let's break it again.
Exactly.
If it breaks, we got it right here on Windows Weekly. The place to come if you want to know what's going on with Microsoft. Partly, mostly, entirely because of these two right here. Our Rogues Gallery of Microsoft Experts, Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com, and his book publisher, LeanPub.com, where you can get his latest, The Fireside Guide to Windows Paint.
No, close enough.
No. It's escaping me. The Field Guide to Windows 10.
Windows 10 Field Guide, yes.
Yeah. Although, those Fireside Guides are great, too, I think.
It's not a bad name, actually.
It would be a good name, wouldn't it? Because it is kind of, you know, some things are like a fire, a dumpster fire, but I'm going to do the Fireside Guide to Twitter. That'd be good.
There are definitely parts of Windows 10 that belong in a dumpster fire, for sure.
Mary Jo Foley's at ZDNet, where her blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com, is really a must-read for anybody following the ways and means of Wedmond. And each Wednesday, we gather together around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Now at our new summertime, so that means it's 1800 UTC. If you stop by, if you want to watch it, twit.tv/live. Actually, watch or listen. We've got streams of audio and video. You can, if you're doing that, join us in the chat room, irc.twit.tv, with everybody else who's watching live, pretty much. On-demand versions available in your favorite podcast application or at our website, twit.tv/ww. Also on YouTube. Everywhere. But it's a good idea to subscribe. That way you'll have every episode the minute it is available. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.